about.
Hey, can you put me on the beginning of the show where you guys say, you know, let's talk about the Kevin Bean show, and there's like a funny, like, sound bite there. And put me there. Put this on. Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What's up, everybody? Beer Mug here in Chinatown for Los Angeles. Wow. And it's behind the man. Wow. Holy Ha. Yeah. It's all that. What's up, Beer Mug here in Chinatown for Los Angeles. This is going to be the one that I nail it on.
Yeah. And now.
The bus is distracting me.
Our feature presentation.
Plus, he had sweat in his eye.
That's right.
If you remember. That's Muggs at the Cat Cafe. He's awesome. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 8th of October.
Oh, my God. Every
what
day.
Now?
We're surprised.
How much warning do you need to have that ready?
I think they're both surprised. Kevin looked surprised as it came out of his mouth.
No. I wasn't surprised I was saying Rocktober, but as I said Rocktober, I was like, there's no way that sound effect is up.
Boy, it's going to be a long month.
No possible way. So I got to the end of Rocktober. I turned around and Beer Mug was like,
maybe I better look old to get the sound effect.
Muggs, did you forget that we're doing that? That it's this month? And
well, yes,
it's a thing?
Forgot.
Yeah, I got to do it a couple times before it really, you know, becomes natural.
It's Isn't only it? The 8th, for God's sake, you guys.
I know, I need at least till the 12th.
No! No, that's absurd.
All right, one more time, and then we got to move on.
It's the 8th of October.
Good show planned for you today. Let's get started with this story. Detroit, right?
Right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Woo! Yeah.
You ain't just kidding.
I love Detroit. I have...
No one does.
I do. And okay. I've been there several times. And it's the saddest place in America in that... Look, there are lots of towns. I was just in Alabama a couple weeks ago, and I drove through a lot of towns that are virtually decimated. There may be a Walmart on the outside of town, and then 90% of the rest of the businesses in town are empty.
Yeah.
And row after row of just abandoned buildings and houses. Well, Detroit is even sadder than that because it was once one of the 10 biggest cities in America. I mean, it was a booming city for decades. And now it really does look like – it looks like some science fiction movie where there was some sort of a chemical leak and all the people were forced to evacuate miles and miles and miles of land. So there's a lot of empty houses in Detroit. And from time to time, people try to make money off of those houses. They try to flip them. They try to buy it, fix it up, and sell it. But it's so hard to find somebody who will buy one because all the other houses around it are empty and the utilities are turned off. I mean, the city's got real problems.
Well, I can see why you like it.
I'm saying that's what makes me sad is because Detroit has such a great tradition and history. It's sad to go and see what it looks like in the 21st century. But I say all that to say this. Here's a guy. His name is not given. He lives in Austria, and I guess he's a real estate, one of those guys who tries to, you know, flip houses, make money on real estate.
Right.
He bought the house. He'd never been to America even, but he bought a house in Detroit for $41,000 in April of 2010.
That's a deal.
It seems like a deal, yeah. Although
he's... Let's wait and hear the end of the story. I'm not sure.
He's never been there, and he's never done anything to it, and it's in very bad shape. And now he's at the point where he's like, look, I got to sell this thing. So last year, he put it on the market for $5,000.
Oh! What? What?
Then it was lowered to $3,000, but no bites. It's a, by the way, a three-bedroom home, one bathroom, brick colonial, finished basement, two-car garage. It's got a furnace, got a hot water heater. It's got all sorts of...
Did he fix it up?
No, he didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything.
He hasn't. Okay. He's never even been to America.
But... Even so, even if you don't fix it up, if you get it for $3,000, you can afford to put a ton of work into it.
Yes, you
could.
Right.
You know, because that's such a low price.
You could knock it down and start all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the land alone, right. It's in bad condition, needs major work. The area is filled with similar houses, mostly vacant. Well, $3,000. Okay, so now he's like, this thing is not moving. What do I do now? So the new offer is he will sell it to anyone who gives him an iPhone 6. It's a straight-up trade for an iPhone 6 or a 32-gigabyte iPad. So either one of those two items.
For a house.
For a house, yes.
You probably just don't want to live in a completely decimated neighborhood all by yourself.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. It's the blight of the neighborhood.
Unbelievable.
He has received some interest, a lot of offers, but so far he has not had anyone who will come up with it.
I'll take a really good calculator. I'll go there. That's fine.
Oh my god.
All right, one pay-per-view movie on DirecTV. That's all you need. Just one pay-per-view.
Couple of pencils.
He says that his agent, his realtor, says that there has been a lot of interest and it has been on the news there. So maybe word will spread and somebody will do it. And you'd think that somebody would do it just for, I don't know, the wood or something. It seems like there's got to be something in there that's worth the price of a phone, right?
I agree. That's crazy.
So anyway, that's how bad things are there in Detroit.
Well, you know what they say about Detroit. It's all fun and games till they shoot you in the face.
Well, there's that too, I guess.
True.
But good luck with that, sir.
All right, let's talk about... He's not very good at flipping homes, by the way.
No, he's not.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeMicho, shall we?
Your voice sounds stupid.
On the program today, we're going to solicit your ideas for Dave the King of Mexico, who does a Clipper song every year at the beginning of the year.
Right.
Last year, he did not do a Clipper song.
Weak.
And we had many different meetings where we were sitting there yelling at him, like, why don't you do this song? Oh, I hate it. Why don't you do this song? That's a bid song. Why don't you do this song? And he just he couldn't make up his mind, and he never ended up making a song for the Clippers.
And a lot of little kids had their hearts broken, too, to have no Clipper song.
I'm not positive that's true. But we need some suggestions today, so we're going to go to you and find out some. Maybe you have some ideas that we could use. We
have last year, by the way, we're never going to find a song as perfect as last year, how hard we tried to push him on Started From the Bottom by Drake.
Yep.
Because here you had a team that was perennially awful that suddenly was good with new owners and a real chance to make the playoffs, which they did. Started from the – I don't like Drake. I will not do Drake songs.
We're like, but it says started from the bottom. Now my whole clique is effing here.
Right.
Like, that's the perfect wording for a song about a team that used to suck and is now doing well.
Sounds like it was written for the Clippers. He wouldn't do it. So I guess we have to find something this year. He'll do.
I don't know. Marriage proposal's gone wrong today.
Uh-oh.
I always love this because people go to such extremes to make sure that it's the perfect day and the perfect chance to ask somebody to marry you. And then, I don't know, the hot air balloon falls in the ocean.
Something like it does.
I mean, just in general. That's a general suggestion of something that might happen. Brand new internet roundup on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you about my weekend in Vegas. I'm pretty sure I've lost my mind entirely now. It's over.
Really?
It's over for me, yeah.
You finally figured that out?
Super Steve... met me at one point in Vegas and said, dude, here's what needs to happen. I need to be your handler. And I said, you know what? That sounds pretty good. And he said, I'll keep track of everything and I'll push you around in a wheelchair. And I'll dress up as a Mexican wrestler.
How could you say no to that? Like,
that's the best offer anyone's ever made me. So we may have to take him up on that. And we're going to continue looking for Halloween music.
Okay.
But asking you to, those of you that are creative and can write songs and maybe you can, you know, pretty good with a computer, you can figure out a way to do a Halloween song. We need some new Halloween classics.
Got a bunch more in yesterday after we talked about it.
So we'll tell you about that and we'll tell you how Beer Mug is the worst Dodger fan ever.
Nope.
Yep.
Did that sound like a question?
No.
I'm sorry. That was my bad.
No, it did not.
It didn't sound like a question.
No.
Okay. Good, because it was really a statement.
Yeah.
More than a question. We will take a quick break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. Yep. Yes, indeed. That
had happened.
That happened.
On the air.
Right there. That was Blind Melon.
Today. That's not an old tape we're playing.
Nope. It's not a replay of an older show. It's not a best of.
Not a flashback to the 90s weekend. It's a song that was intentionally programmed and aired on October 8th, 2014. Which, by the way, is the 8th of Rocktober.
Yeah.
Muggs was had his act together. That was me.
It's closer.
My bad. Okay.
Hey, Ralph is in New York working on Ted 2, although I heard he got kicked off the movie yesterday for touching kids. I wasn't sure what the details were, but I'm pretty sure.
That was the guy from Seventh Heaven. That
they wrote him out of the movie now. It's going to be kind of awkward when he comes back.
Not him at all.
We are taking a look at the Showbiz Beat, and we start with a new All-Star Jam. A lot of times you'll see these where the artists, a bunch of artists will get together, you know, Do They Know It's Christmas style or We Are the World style, and they'll raise money for charity. This is not for charity. This is a superstar recording that was made for the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation. They have just launched a new channel. It's a new TV and radio project in England called BBC Music.
Okay.
I don't want to say everybody's in it, but a lot of people are, including Stevie Wonder, Dave Grohl. I think we've got a clip of it. They're doing the classic Beach Boys song, God Only Knows. Brian Wilson also appears in the video, the man who wrote the song and led the Beach Boys. And this clip that we're going to play is near the beginning with Pharrell, Emily Sandé, Elton John, Lord, and Chris Martin. All
wow.
In the clip. I mean, it's got some superstar power in this. You got to see. We got to put this video up, Dave, on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page because it's pretty well done. But again, here's those artists, a little clip of God Only Knows.
Is that Lord there?
That's Chris Martin right there.
Chris Martin. Okay.
That's Chris Martin, yeah. Now here comes Lord. Lord's coming down.
I'm sorry, that's not the right song. This is the right song.
I may not always love you.
There's Pharrell.
But as long as there are stars above you.
Emily.
You never need to doubt it.
Elton.
I'll make you so sure about it.
Lord.
God only knows what I'd be without.
And Chris Martin. Lord, by the way, is wearing a giant pair of angel's wings in the video for some reason. I'm not sure why.
She's truly weird, and I truly think, I think it's real. I don't think it's put on, and I love it.
Yeah. I love her. I really do. She's terrific. Anyway, great great song and a cool project, and we'll put it up. You got to see it.
We didn't have time yesterday to get to this story, but I don't know if you saw it. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are having their kid, what's the kid's name, Northwest?
Yep.
Having their kid play with dolls of themselves.
No,
did you see
no,
that story?
No,
yes.
No.
They had a Kim Kardashian doll made with, like, leather pants and stuff like that. And then they had a Kanye West doll made. And those are the dolls that they're giving Northwest to play with.
Oh, my God.
And these dolls, by the way, they didn't just take Barbies and dress them up. I mean, they're custom made with their faces, too. So this kid is playing with dolls of her parents.
How narcissistic can you possibly be?
Yeah, and I thought the whole point of playing with dolls is you use your imagination on who these dolls are. Right? Isn't that what you do?
Yeah, sure. You make
pretend
up storylines.
Sure. Exactly. But if they're your parents, then I don't. It seems like that kind of cuts into some of the fun of that playtime, I would think.
Oh, f*** you. And one other story in the news with them. Kim Kardashian apparently is a big fan of, you know, rings and jewelry and stuff. And there's a photo on her Instagram with her baby who has a gold ring on her thumb and 8 finger rings that spell out N-O-R-T-H-W-E-S-T.
Wait, the baby is wearing the rings?
Oh, my
yes.
God. You can't put rings on babies? What? Might they swallow them?
I don't know.
Would you give your kid, your 10-month-old or whatever it is, a little piece of jewelry to play with? They put that stuff in their mouths.
Yeah,
that can't make sense. That can't make sense. You're not telling me they may not be good parents.
Well, no, of course they're great parents. Let's not doubt that.
I also heard, it turns out this kid is 16 months old already, by the way.
Wow.
Turns out I'm reading that the baby North has her own stylist / tailor who travels with the family. And that they have meetings where they plan out the wardrobe that Kim is going to be wearing so that she can coordinate it with her baby's wardrobe.
Yes.
That's fabulous.
Yes.
So that's what's going
on.
That's
a deal.
There. Got some great TV news for you. Well, you decide whether it's great or not. Yesterday, we were talking about the word that had come out that NBC was going to reboot the movie Say Anything from 1989 and turn it into a TV series. It was not met with a great reaction from either the fans or the people involved in the film. Remember, Cameron Crowe came out against it and said he'd do anything he could to stop it. John Cusack said it was a terrible idea. Well, NBC announced late yesterday they are not moving ahead with the TV series.
Oh, no kidding. Wow, it worked.
That was a very swift change of mind on that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And tell me if this sounds cool to you. Ryan Murphy, who's one of the giants in television right now, he's got that American Horror Story that's debuting tonight. He's also the man behind Glee. He is going to do a new series that's kind of like American Horror Story, except it's going to be called American Crime Story. And season one is going to be based on the O.J. Simpson case.
Really?
That could be fascinating, right?
Yeah.
We could have riots again.
It's going to be based on the murder trial book, The Run of His Life, The People versus O.J. Simpson. I'm sorry, The People versus O.J. Simpson. That was written by Jeffrey Toobin. It's all about the legal maneuvering in the case. And for folks who are too young to remember, O.J. Simpson was acquitted for that trial, but it gripped the nation. Most people thought he did it,
yeah.
And the trial was on TV, and millions and millions and millions of people hung on every word of that thing every single day all year long. And he was a superstar at the time. You know, one of the biggest, most famous pro athletes in history. He was doing tons of commercials. I mean, he was one of the most beloved people in the United States when he was accused of this crime.
I'm the juice, whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
So apparently there will be a 10-episode initial series. It's going to be on the FX network. And then if that works, then they'll pick another famous crime and do another miniseries / TV series based on crime. I just think that's a great idea.
I can't wait for Freak Show tonight. That's awesome.
Yes, it does look awfully creepy, doesn't it?
And one more quick story. It is possible, People Magazine says, that Prince William and Duchess Kate might come to New York City.
Oh, my gosh. 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 Have they not been to the United States since they've been a thing?
I don't know. I just wanted to play that drop.
Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Paul Hogan is 75 years old. He's Crocodile Dundee, right?
Yes, he is. That's not a knife.
Could I hear your Australian accent again, please, Kevin?
No, you cannot.
The great Chevy Chase is 71 years old today. Man, from Community, of course, and movies going back to the Vacation movies and the Fletch movies and his year on Saturday Night Live. Comedy legend, and by all accounts, just a dick in real life. 71 years old today.
A lot of stories that way.
Actress Sigourney Weaver is 65 today. Daryl Hammond, who was on SNL for many, many years, now is the announcer on that program, is 59 years old today. Oscar-winning actor Matt Damon turns 44 today. Nick Cannon, who must be having the happiest birthday in years.
Yeah.
Now that he's away from Mariah Carey, turns 34 today. Our friend Travis Pastrana is 31. Bruno Mars is 29. And Angus T. Jones, who is the half a man from Two and a Half Men, is 21 today. And please, don't watch his show. He insists. And finally, our old friend Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, civil rights leader, turns 73 today. Jesse listens to the show, right?
Hi, this is Reverend Jesse Jackson. You listen to Kevin and Bear on K-Rock LA.
And that's the Showbiz Beat. Every hour today, right here on K-Rock, we got a pair of fast fright passes to Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. Plus, you get to skip the line for all the mazes. That Queen Mary is awesome. We've done a few events down there. That is so much fun. And congratulations and thanks to listening for Frank Sanchez from La Puente. He just won his Queen Mary tickets. We got yours coming up next hour here on K-Rock.
Let's talk about the worst Dodger fan in the world, shall we?
Oh, yes.
Dare you?
I don't even think he's really a Dodgers fan, to tell you the truth.
Why, Bean? Why not?
Because you told us yesterday that you turn off the TV if the team is losing. That is almost the perfect definition of a fair-weather fan. I only like them if they're winning.
But I have logical and legitimate reasons.
Okay, give them to us.
Okay.
Let me just clarify. If the Dodgers get behind in a game.
Yeah.
Ever. Yes? Any game?
It depends on the situation. Okay, let me explain. Unlike my mom cannot watch any game where they're losing.
Okay, hold on. So any game the Dodgers are losing, as soon as they get one run down, TD off. Or leave stadium, right? For your mom.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't even understand how that works. Like, game one against the Cardinals in this series, the lead changed like two or three times during the game. Like, how do you know to turn it back on if they go ahead?
You pop in and out. If you're at home, you know, you got one channel on, and then you just press last, and, yeah, you go back and forth. But, yeah, my mom's crazy. But I do it not necessarily because I'm a fair-weather fan. I take great offense to that.
Okay, why don't you tell us why you do it?
I do it especially in the playoffs when the Dodgers are away and I'm watching the Dodgers play at their opposing team's field, I can't stand when that team does good and I'm hearing all their fans cheer. It's like an auditory jab to the face. I cannot take that. And that's why I changed the channel.
Here's the thing. Let me just explain something to you. All other Dodger fans feel the exact same way. You know why? Because it sucks to watch your team get beat and have somebody else in their park cheer. That's the reaction all of us have for any sport.
Yeah.
But none of the people who are diehard fans go, "All right, come on Dodgers, let's," and they hang through it.
Yeah, but when they
don't turn off the TV because they hear cheering from the other stadium. That's absurd.
When the playoffs are on the line, Kevin.
Yes.
It is just so hard to bear the other team's joy and my team's frustration and being miserable.
I don't think you understand that Muggs experiences more.
Yes,
Lisa. Than you and me and
is
most
it,
people.
Is it like a deeper
it's
emotional
a deeper,
contact?
Yes, obviously.
But it's completely legitimate and fair and reasonable and normal that St. Louis Cardinals fans are happy when the Cardinals are doing well. Muggs, that's part of the game. Look, you have to have other teams to play against. Otherwise, there's no league.
I understand, but I think I hate the Cardinals now more than
sure,
ever.
Fine.
And I can't take the fact that they beat us in the first game, we came back and tied in the second, and then it was just all downhill from there. You know, I mean, it was just.
But you had. Is there any? Look, I understand you're sore about the Dodgers losing, and I get it. You're invested in the season, and it sucks when it's over, and you're in the playoffs, and you want to go all the way. And it's been a long time since the Dodgers have won anything. But the Cardinals have been a formidable opponent for a number of years. I mean, they've won just like the Giants. Both of those teams are among the best teams in the National League. They both won two World Series in the last 10 years. I mean, you have to know that they're tough to get past.
I know. I just don't like all their players on the team. Matt Carpenter, Holiday.
That's how everybody feels.
It's just I don't want to watch them
stupid
win.
Stupid Matt Carpenter hitting all those home runs.
It's just
nobody
annoying.
Wants to watch another team beat their team. I'll give you the example on the air that I gave off the air yesterday quickly. It was Lakers. It was Game 7. It was the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Shaq and Kobe. I don't remember what year. 2002, maybe? I don't know. Behind the entire game, getting destroyed, Game 7. So we're getting thrown out of the playoffs. And I have never been more angry in my life at the Lakers because they would not play defense, and it was frustrating, and I was so angry. In the last 3 or 4 minutes, the Lakers came storming back, and Shaq made a huge dunk, and Kobe was great, and it was one of the greatest comebacks of all time. But it was literally 3 3/4 of the game that I was miserable. You hang because you want your team to make that turnaround. If you leave, you never get that payoff. Well, you never get that payoff.
I understand that, Kevin. And yesterday, I went against my own routine, and I stuck with the station.
Right.
Right.
Only because we were going to talk about it today,
no.
By the way. Oh, is it just a coincidence?
This was their last hurrah.
No, it's a coincidence.
Kevin.
No, I know.
They went into the top of the ninth inning, down a run, and
well, you should have been gone then.
I almost left. I was at a bar, and I almost left.
It's unbelievable.
And the buddy Osway said, just stick around. And I left right before the Cardinals scored a run, and I didn't even see Matt Adams, or whatever his name is. There's a bunch of Matts on the Cardinals.
It's Matt Adams.
Matt Adams hit a home run. I missed that.
Wait, so you missed this moment?
Driven in the right, hit the wall. It is gone.
Listen to all those Cardinals fans.
3-2.
They sound so happy, bud.
Listen to them. Listen to them gloating.
Look. I can understand if as soon as he hits that ball and the announcer says it's gone, I can totally understand. Like, I'm not going to watch another second of them being happy because my team got eliminated and I'm miserable.
But this wasn't the end of the game, Kevin.
Oh,
this
wasn't?
Was like in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
But this was another.
Wait, did you see that?
No. This was another.
What? It was only the seventh inning.
I left the minute they got a guy on base because I knew it wasn't going to turn out well. The way the Dodgers have been playing, they've been blowing leads, and I just I couldn't stand to watch it.
All right, but let me ask you this, Muggs, in all seriousness, because we're almost out of time here. Didn't you feel like once the Dodgers in the dugout checked their smartphones that they would see your tweets and that would inspire them to go out there and win one for the mugs?
That wasn't for the Dodgers. It was for the Dodger fans.
This is another topic besides the fact that you're the worst fan ever. And that is that you tweet to the team.
To the team, yes.
What are some of the things he tweeted yesterday, B?
Three outs to do something, boys.
And then when they were up, in the bottom of the seventh, I just let everybody know more as a community, hey, there's 2.5 innings left. Let's do this.
So the guy who leaves or turns off the TV every game that yeah. the Dodgers are behind is giving updates to other fans who are still watching, probably.
Probably.
That's right.
Or you put at Dodgers, right?
Yes, he does. At every one. That's right.
So really now you're watching the bullpen to see if any of the guys are pulling out their phones so that they can get this inspirational message from you.
Hang on, guys. I was gonna suck out there, but I just got this note from Muggs. I'm gonna go out there and I'm trying to win this thing now.
Let's do it. Did everybody read Muggs' tweet? All right, let's do this.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I should have not watched the end of the game yesterday because based on the fact that I watched, they lost. So I think I should just continue not watching when they're down.
I think you should never watch.
How dare you?
Because you're a terrible fan.
I'm not a terrible fan.
Yeah, you are, because so many people love so many different sports teams, and most of why it feels so good to see them win is because you hang with a team when they're not winning, and it sucks. And then, when they do win, it's such a great payoff.
But I do hang with the team, Kevin.
No, you don't.
I pop back, and you know what? When I'm at a game, when I'm at a Dodger game, and they're losing, I don't leave. That's my mom. I stay. I bear it out with the team.
Don't believe it.
I honestly don't
believe that, Bean?
No, I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
I think he's saving face at this point. Look, there's only one thing we can all agree on, and that's
fire beer mug.
Come on.
Yes, Halloween spoon.
No!
That time.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. No! Ghostly things are gonna happen.
You'd rather have blind melon again?
What?
Rather have blind melon again?
Yes.
Outside my window.
Okay, so this is the song we argue about. I don't know if you saw that tweet that was going around. Did you see that, Bean?
No, which one?
Family members that were arguing over Halloween spooks?
No.
It was very funny. It was like somebody took a screenshot of the text back and forth from, I don't know, dad and son. I don't know who it was. That's awesome. So that part really just drives me crazy.
We started talking about how Halloween Spooks is kind of our go-to Halloween song. It's really the only one. I mean, I don't even think that, despite the great tradition of K-Rock playing Halloween music, in recent years, I don't even think we play the classics anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any Dead Man's Party. I don't think there's any, any of those songs that we used to play back in the day. So that's why we started thinking, hey, maybe it's time for some new Halloween songs. We got a lot of people out there very creative, and we've been asking folks to send some in. And I have been impressed with some of the ones that have come through already.
Yeah, which ones?
Well, let's hear. I know we got a couple of clips that we played late in the show yesterday. Then we got some new ones to debut for you today as well. But what have you heard?
All right. Well, this first one that I'm going to play for you is, and by the way, we're looking for you. If you have any musical talent and you know how to make a song, write a song, do a song, please, we need some new Halloween standards. So send them to us. You can find our email addresses at krock.com. All right. The first one is the Spazzies with Zombie Girl. I sort of like that one. Yeah, I sort of like that one, too. The next one is not exactly the same quality. This is Glenn and Sunshine. Glenn and Sunshine. And the song is called Gingerbread Coffin.
A gingerbread coffin. I'm crying. She's screaming. Claustrophobic tendencies. We never thought that we would say someday we'll die of tooth decay. She knows this. Let's eat our way through gingerbread. We'll make go run, and when we're done, we'll stop the agent of the undead.
Okay, hold on a second.
Is that a song or sex?
or is it a song about tooth decay? Is the gingerbread something that's going to make all of our teeth rot because of the sugar? What's going on in that
I don't
number?
Know, but it is gingerbread coffin.
Yeah.
They definitely had the words tooth decay in it, though.
Yeah, because you get a lot of candy at Halloween, Bean. And you eat candy, and it gives you tooth decay. Come on.
All right.
Keep up. Seven and the Yukon.
I think it's seven in the all-you-can-eat bacon.
Oh, okay. This is written wrong. Okay, right. Seven in the all-you-can-eat bacon. This is one of my favorites just because of the rapper.
Well, it feels like it's been a while. Time for a howl.
Come on. Come on. That's
love
the,
it.
That's the Jay-Z of Halloween music.
I love it.
This next one is actual disco. Is it possible to have a disco Halloween song?
Is this Get Down Goblin?
This is Get Down Goblin.
I like yes. this one, too.
Jan Terry, the name of the song is Get Down Goblin.
Get down, Goblin. Get down, Goblin.
Might help is if some of you that have songs like that, where you were playing in a tiny little bar and your friend was outside with like an 8-track or a cassette tape recorder getting that record. Maybe you redo it with today's technology.
Or just have them come inside.
So yeah, or have them come inside either way.
That one does sound like a roller skating jam though, doesn't
it?
Yes. I don't know. I don't have the category of roller skating jams.
Okay.
But right. Maybe. The great Linda Pauly.
Linda Pauly.
Yes.
She speaks with people in heaven. That's her thing. Mm-hmm. And John Lennon writes songs, and then John Lennon gives the songs to Linda Pauly, and she plays them for us.
Okay.
Again, I'm not positive how this was recorded, but it was three rooms away when she was playing the new song, Weird Stuff.
There's a zombie in the White House, and we're wolf on the lawn. There's some really weird stuff.
Okay, not to diminish her talent, but I feel like that could have been better recorded and would be more enjoyable.
You don't see that as a songwriting problem with John Lennon?
Oh, no. I think Lennon's part is fine. I just think we need a little help in making the record.
Well, that's possible. Our favorite one, though, I do have to tell you, is a guy who sent in a song. His name is Mikhail Britt, and he sent in a song that he did when he was 10.
Aww.
He recorded this when he was 10.
Okay.
And there used to be a thing called a Casio keyboard. For those of you that are younger, you may not remember this. This is the very first, like, portable keyboard, but it was sort of a toy for kids. Mm-hmm. And the sound is not exactly like a keyboard today. But this kid was 10, and he did a song called Two Eyeballs. And I think it might be one of our favorites. We're going to play some of this, and then we want you to send in yours. You can tweet them, or you can send them an email. And we're going to keep looking for great new Halloween classics, although this one's going to be tough to beat. We don't know what he said either. Something about
he's not bringing it.
Something about the attic.
I think a creak from the attic.
Speak up, McCall.
Two eyeballs.
There we go.
Two eyeballs.
Kind of intoxicating, this music, isn't it?
Two eyeballs, eyeballs.
Giving himself echo. Yeah. It's going to be my ringtone. All right, I got another minute and a half of this one.
I think that's enough.
Another minute and a half, no?
By the way, now that I look at his name, this McCall that we're talking about, I bet his parents are just those people who won't spell Michael right. I bet his name's actually just Michael.
Oh, that could be.
I bet it is.
M-I-K-A-L?
Two eyeballs, though. That is the jam right there.
Six 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Soundgarden, also the latest from U2, and I'm just assuming Blind Melon's No Rain coming up again
sure. Here
in the next few minutes here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, Ralph is off this week. We are taking turns filling in on the showbiz, and I believe this hour It's Lisa May's turn.
Hi, yes. Lisa. Hi. Listen for the rat-a-tat-tat.
Yes.
That's what we learned about you yesterday.
Yes, we did.
Lisa Marie.
I have to start off with actor Stephen Collins because a really weird thing happened with him last night. Now, He's the one who's estranged wife. Their divorce trial is about to start. And she released some tapes that were recorded when he was in therapy with her, claiming that he admits to molesting some kids.
And he was the father on
Seventh Heaven.
Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
Now, my understanding is, and tell me if this is your read as well, Lisa, is that they're in therapy together, and she had some suspicions that he had been fooling around with little kids. She'd been tipped off by other people about that. So that she insisted in therapy, hey, come clean on this. We need to work through this. We need to talk about this. You need to be honest with me about it. And that's how it ended up coming out in the therapy session as part of their marriage counseling.
Right. That's my understanding. And then he is now claiming that she tried to blackmail him.
She set him up by getting that out.
But that's no defense. I mean, he still said that.
Doesn't really
change that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wonder how admissible it will be. I don't
Legally.
Know what the circumstances were of the recording, if he was aware it was being recorded. I mean, there's a lot of questions still as this story unfolds, but it's still shocking and so bad.
Yeah, it's horrible. And so he's been fired from TED 2, and he was on the SAG-AFTRA board. He's resigned. So things are going downhill quickly. So last night, and you know, reporters were camped around his house last night, right?
Sure.
Well, he wasn't even home, as it turns out, but one of the reporters thought he heard a gunshot and called the police.
Okay.
And Twitter took off, and the next thing you know, Stephen Collins has shot himself.
That's what the headline was?
He has committed suicide. And Donna Derrico lives around the corner from him. Actress Donna Derrico, she has like 53,000 followers, and she immediately tweeted out, that guy from Seventh Heaven lives right around the corner from me and just shot himself a few minutes ago.
Oh, my God.
And it just went nuts.
But he didn't.
He wasn't even home, as it turns out.
Yeah, he never came back to his house. But you can understand why somebody would suspect that that would happen under the circumstances. I mean, it would not be a stretch to think that this could have been true. But that's the danger of news by Twitter.
Yeah.
Is that one person says, hey, that might have happened, and the next thing you know, it did happen, and everybody's reporting it.
Right. And so Donna Derrico pulled it down and then later said, I'm so sorry. My neighbor was on the scene, and I reported what he said.
Everybody was just hoping, I think.
Yeah, maybe so.
Have you seen the trailer yet, Lisa? This is kind of related for the new season of The Newsroom on HBO that's getting ready to begin.
No, I guess I haven't.
They're covering the Boston Marathon. As one of the plot lines in the season this year. And at one point, Jeff Daniels' news anchor character standing in the newsroom talking about somebody had tweeted that the guy responsible for the marathon bombing was hiding in a boat in somebody's backyard, which you remember is how they found him, right?
Yes.
You remember that's how that was true. And he's standing in the newsroom and he's screaming, I'd like some confirmation on that before I put it on television. Because the rush is these days, and everybody trying to be first and get the story, the rush is, oh, somebody said it must be true. Let's go with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a lot of times, and especially when you're dealing with crowdsourcing the news, a lot of times they don't really have the journalistic, 1-2 that we used to give it.
Which is a problem.
Yeah.
Yes, everywhere.
There's not even a 1, let alone a 1-2.
Hey, do I have paparazzi?
Okay, my bad.
Okay.
Wow. Bitchy.
I'm
all right.
Just saying,
good.
If I'm going to do it.
All right.
Let's do
it. She did do her hair and makeup. At least they should take some pictures.
Yes, exactly. I love Jennifer Garner. I think she's just really sweet and nice and down to earth. And she just seems like a really cool chick.
I agree.
And so she was on Ellen DeGeneres. Apparently, rumors have been going around that she is pregnant again. This would be her fourth child. And people have been talking about her baby bump. And apparently a woman on a plane actually said, so congratulations, when's it due? And it's brutal to be an actress in Hollywood.
Oh, no, yeah.
Because 4 pounds and people start to congratulate you for being pregnant.
Yeah.
So I love her so much. She went on Ellen. She's like, yes, I have a baby bump. And I'm always going to have a baby bump because I had 3 kids.
But it's not a new kid.
It's not a new kid.
Whoa.
But it's always going to be there. And you know, she's a size 1 or whatever.
Yeah, she's tiny.
She's tiny. So she's just not, concave anymore. And this is the thing that really cracked me up. She said that her stomach looks like a camel, but in reverse. And I'm trying to figure out what that
stomach
means.
Because like
it has it goes out, but then
reverse
would go in.
I don't.
Do you know?
I don't know
what that means. All right. It is on, and I love it so much. This is Gwyneth Paltrow, and Martha Stewart.
Oh, two of them.
Duking it out.
Two of the biggest blowhards in the world.
Because Gwyneth, you know, with the goop, is just encroaching into Martha territory.
I
and Martha does not like it.
It's
and
on.
She recently said she just needs to be quiet. She's a movie star. If she were confident in her acting, she wouldn't be trying to be Martha Stewart.
Wow.
Wow.
What a slam. And Gwyneth said, oh, if I'm really honest, I'm so psyched she sees this as competition. I'm so psyched. I really am. Let's just all be positive about this in every way. And Zen. My money's on Martha, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, that's super petty of Martha to think that she's the only one who can be in the craft business.
Of course.
It really is. I mean, and she is still going to be the undisputed leader and the best at it, even if there's competition. So.
Yeah, but she has been in jail, man.
Be gracious.
The only thing I like about any of this is that they're fighting.
Yeah, I know.
Back to you.
You just hope it's to the death for both of them.
Who do you root for, really?
Yeah, really.
Okay. Oh, Jennifer Lawrence has now sounded off, I guess, about the photos that were hacked of her naked. She has the cover story of Vanity Fair, and the interview was actually done before the photos were leaked, so they went back and talked to her again. And she said, just because I'm a public figure and I'm an actress doesn't mean that I asked for this. It doesn't come with the territory, which is a great point. It's my body. It should be my choice. And it's disgusting that it's not. It is not a scandal. It is a sex crime. And we need to change the laws. She also said she was in a 4-year long distance relationship. And she said, either your boyfriend's going to look at porn or he's going to look at you.
Well,
which I love.
All right.
It's like, I was doing it for a good reason. Yeah. And I should not be penalized for that.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's say penalized when you're talking about a story like this.
Penalized
if you don't mind.
For that.
Penis is not in the word.
She's absolutely right, and every word of that is true, by the way. She's a celebrity, but she didn't ask for this, and she's also a human who deserves the right to privacy.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love her, too. Celebrity birthdays. Paul Hogan is 75. Jesse Jackson is 73. We have history with Jesse.
We do.
We have talked to him several times, but we heard a speech of his. And there was something he said that we could not figure out what it meant.
Yes, it was this clip right here.
Yes. Stand with the Withers!
We're
and
like,
we played
what
it
are Withers?
Over and over.
Stand with the Withers!
Remember, we had listeners who were calling in, who were trying to figure out what he possibly could have meant.
Was it the Democratic National Convention, I think?
I think it was.
Something big like that. And he said that, and we were like, what? Is he saying Withers or Wuthers? Or what could he
figure it out?
What does it mean? So one time we got the Reverend on the phone, and we just point blank asked him. We thought, finally, we're going to get an answer to this mystery. And here's what it sounded like.
I have just a tiny piece of tape from a speech that you gave several years ago, and we need your help in figuring out what it is you're saying.
Stand with the Withers!
What is that, sir?
I'm not sure.
Yep.
I was so afraid.
I can't quite make out
what was meant.
You remember the speech you were saying, stand with the chicken workers and stand with the poor, and then you said stand with the Withers.
I can't quite make it out. That's
so sad. So we'll never know.
We asked him, and he didn't know.
We had the opportunity to go back, and he didn't know.
No.
Chevy Chase is 71. Sigourney Weaver, who works a ton still, 65. Daryl Hammond, who's now the SNL announcer, is 59. And Matt Damon, my soon-to-be boyfriend, is 44. Huh. And that's the Showbiz Beat.
Couple of follow-ups from Lisa's Showbiz Report. Princess Vespa writes in and says that Jesse Jackson is saying stand with the workers. First of all, we don't want to go down this rabbit hole again, but this is clearly not workers.
Yeah. Stand with the Withers!
We considered that at the time, and it would have made sense in the speech, and maybe he just said it wrong.
Could be.
But
there's no way this is workers.
Stand with the Withers! Right.
And also, Ben Decker writes in and says, in reference to your Jennifer Garner story, Lisa,
that
Jennifer Garner's camel hump means that there's a protrusion on her stomach, not on her back.
Oh.
That makes sense.
That's what that means, I guess.
Normally the hump's on the back.
Right, exactly.
Got
so there's
it.
Now we
Thank
were unfamiliar
you.
With that term, but now we know. So
camel toe, I know. I didn't know about this.
Yeah. Yes, you do. I'm a mess. I'm seriously starting to doubt myself. I got trouble.
How long have we been telling you this?
I know, but I ignore you.
Yeah.
This past weekend, I went to Las Vegas, and I made so many unbelievable mistakes that I really, it was a terrible weekend for me.
Oh. And you usually have a great time.
I do, but it started last Wednesday and last Thursday night. I didn't get any sleep. Mm. Weezer we had on Friday morning.
Right.
They were going to play at 9. We had all kinds of sound trouble, so they didn't get into like 9:40 or something like that.
Yeah.
And they weren't, but people were very upset around here. Our people, we were upset because we didn't have the right, you know, I don't know. It was a bunch of stuff with the sound and all kinds of stuff that they had checked, and they weren't thrilled, but they were perfectly cool, and they went on and they did their set and they sang, and we put it up at krock.com. But it was a really stressful end of the day, and we ended up at 10:20 or something like that instead of, you know, 9:45, which we normally end at. So I had to go catch my flight to Vegas.
Yes, I knew that you wanted to get out right at 10, if
yeah,
possible.
I was like, today I have to leave early.
Yes.
And we were on the air until 10:20. So I leave, and I go to the airport, and I catch my flight to Vegas, and I check into the MGM. Okay, everything's fine. This is going to happen. And then so Friday night was going to be Luc Robitaille's charity poker tournament.
Oh, cool.
Echoes of Hope is the name of his charity. It's a fantastic charity. Look it up, echoesofhope.com. And we play it every year. And it starts at 5:30. Well, you pre-register by a credit card. Mm-hmm. So I pre-registered, and I had the piece of paper that showed that I pre-registered. Well, I couldn't find that. I was in my room, and I was like, it's time to go. The tournament's starting. I can't find the piece of paper that says I even pre-registered. I can't imagine where it is. So I tore my suitcase apart. So right there. Okay.
Usually you're the too many papers guys. In this case, it was not enough papers.
Couldn't find it. I had no idea. I know that I registered. I know I brought it with me. Couldn't find it. Okay. So I get down there, and they're nice enough. They take pity on me. They look at my license. They do a bunch of extra work that they shouldn't have to do to find that I was pre-registered, and now I play in the tournament. Okay. So I do pretty well in the tournament. I don't know. I came in 12th or something out of 140.
Wow.
Fun. Kings players were there. I got to sit next to Alec Martinez, which
That's
was fantastic.
Cool.
You took your 80th picture of you with the cup.
I did. I did.
You will not stop tweeting you and the goddamn Stanley Cup.
I took pictures last night, Bean. Okay. But anyway, well, this is this past weekend. So I get out of that, and then I see a sign, Bean, that says Hakkasan, which is at the MGM.
Oh, nice.
Who's playing Friday night? Steve Aoki.
Wow.
We know Steve.
We just had him on last week.
Yeah.
So I'm not feeling very well because it was Friday morning and I hadn't been sleeping and the tournament went for a long time. I wasn't feeling very well, but I thought, what are the chances? This is awesome. So I text Dave, the King of Mexico, you know, who do we know? Can I get in to see Steve Aoki? Dave says, do you have pants? Because it's a nightclub. And I was like, yeah. So he sets me up with the guy. I'm going to meet him or whatever. And I go upstairs and I look for my pants, and I don't have pants.
What?
Okay, I leave those
at home.
Yeah, I always bring them.
You always bring a pair of pants.
I don't want to wear them, but I always bring them just in case, because there are times when if you don't wear the pants, you don't get into something.
Right.
And it might be something you want to get into.
No pants.
So I don't have the pants, but I already talked to Steve Aoki's guy.
Okay.
Okay. So now it's about 11:30, and I realize I don't have the pants. So now I have to get back to Steve Aoki's guy, and I have to say, hey, I'm an idiot. I don't have pants. I just have shorts. Is there any way I can still get in, or should I just write it off? I don't want to be trouble.
Right.
I won't go. No problem. He says, let me check. I'll get back to you. About midnight.
Boy, you create a lot of extra work for people in your life.
I know, Bean. And I feel terrible about it because now, like, the people at the poker tournament had to go through a lot of extra effort that they shouldn't have had to.
Dave had to do a bunch of stuff.
It was Friday night. He's not working.
Right.
He contacts the guy. Now Steve Aoki's guy is trying to get me in, and I have to text back. I don't have pants. Like, I'm just – what a loser. Just So he says – he checks, and he says, yes, you can come.
Okay.
But just you'll have to meet us at the room, and we'll just walk in with you. So now I'm thinking, how awesome is this?
That's pretty cool.
I'm going to walk in with Steve Aoki, and I'm going to be able to get in with my shorts, and no one will say anything, and I can watch Steve Aoki. Okay. What time does he go on? 1:30. Okay. So what time are we supposed to meet? 12:45. Okay. So it's midnight now.
Okay.
And I'm with some friends, and I'm thinking, you know, my stomach feels kind of upset, like I'm going to throw up. Maybe I should get some food. So we eat, and stomach gets no better. And I'm really like, at this point, I think I might throw up at any moment. But I'm going to meet Steve Aoki's guy. We're going to walk into the Hakkasan together.
And you rarely let any of this stuff deter you.
Right.
I have to say, to your credit.
I'll do anything.
You
right.
will.
But I didn't
In any
wanna,
state.
At this point now, I figured at the most 5 seconds from throwing up.
Dude.
At the most. Probably sooner. So now I think, well, do I want to go meet Steve Aoki and just puke the whole way?
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like a terrible night. More for him than me, even.
Right.
So it gets to be 12:45 in the morning, and I'm thinking, okay, now I'm going to walk in with him, and that's awesome, and I love Steve Aoki, but he doesn't go on for 45 minutes after that till 1:30.
Right.
So I text the dude, and I say, hey, really sorry, but
me again.
God.
I'm pretty sick. So and then the other part of me goes, it's your chance to walk in with Steve Aoki. This is awesome. I can't do it. So I go up and go to
killed you.
It did. So I go up and I go to bed and I barely sleep. And then the next day I spend most of my day in bed. Then it's time to go to the game and I have Super Steve, who's a friend of ours, who's mm-hmm. I have. Oh yeah, I got tickets for you. No problem. Can't find my tickets to the game, to the hockey game. This is why I went for the weekend. Kings, Avalanche, Frozen Fury, it's called. It's sort of the way they kick off the season every year. I can't find four tickets. I tear my suitcase apart. Cannot find them anymore.
What is wrong with your suitcase?
What's exactly?
It ate the pants,
thank
the
you.
Tickets, the thing to get it.
So now I have to call another guy that I have to impose
oh,
on,
no.
Right? Now it's me again going, hey, I'm really sorry about this, but I'm not a guy who loses tickets. I'm not. That's where I'm organized. I had no idea. So this is a new guy. I called him. He works for the Kings.
He doesn't know who you are.
He works for the Kings. So he's okay. Like, all right, look, I'll try and find something. So now somebody else is going out on a limb for him. I'm like, I already promised other people that I had tickets, and now I don't. So if I could just get like three and you could sneak me in, that would be cool. And so he goes, and he's in the middle of a meeting, and he has to leave. All these people.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
And now I seriously hate myself. Like, most of the time, I'm able to just blow it off, but what a dick.
But the Kings guy and Luke's charity guy and Steve Aoki's guy, they all hate you, too, so at least you've got company.
Yes. That's way worse. Like, I would rather... If I'm a dumbass, I want to suffer for that. It's so much worse to make somebody else suffer because I'm a dumbass.
Right.
So they get me into the game.
And they get Super Steve tickets? And
yes.
Okay.
The whole thing. Super Steve is able to go.
Well, that's good.
And then on Sunday I get on the flight and I fly back to Burbank and I get out the ticket that I have for the valet and I can't find my wallet. And I literally, in the airport, in Burbank Airport, I had to tear my suitcase apart. I took every single thing out of my suitcase because I know I had my wallet. I traveled.
Right.
I was on the airline.
Right.
Clearly, I had my wallet. Took everything out of my suitcase. It took about 25 minutes.
Oh, where was it?
It was in my suitcase. It was the very last item in my suitcase. And I got it, went home.
I have started crying.
I'm not a fan of me.
Dude, you got to be put down. I'm sorry.
I apologize to everybody for this past
it's
weekend.
It's just a path of destruction.
It was just
left behind you.
It was a path of destruction. It's just, I'm starting to worry.
Nice work, Kevin.
Hey, in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to tell you about a free comedy show with our friend Jay Moore that is, again, free to all military veterans and their families. How cool is that event sound?
That is awesome.
Awesome.
So we'll talk to the man behind that at Operation Comedy on the way. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. This is our voicemail 24/7. You call, leave us a message on the radio. We play it for you on the radio at 323-520-AFRO. Lots of people calling on lots of different topics today.
Yeah, we come up with a lot of what we think are good band names. And this is a response to one of those.
Hi, I'm the banjo player. Used to play for the Weird Awkward Boners. You might have thought of True the other day. Wanted to know if Chip still needed a bandmate.
She does, actually. Chip does need
a bandmate. They fired their banjo player. Now he's looking for work. That's sad.
The Weird Awkward Boners. Yeah, that's rough. It is the it's October, and so we always make fun of that by saying that it is Rocktober. And we used to actually have a band.
Yes, we did.
Called Melfon. And we used to bring it in, and we rocked. We melted
sure
people's faces.
We sure did.
In the month of October. But it was an ugly, ugly breakup, and I'm not sure it's ever going to come back.
Melfon! Melfon!
Great delivery here.
Melfon!
I think Melfon is like those 90s TV shows that through nostalgia-covered glasses you feel like were great. And
right.
Then if you ever go back and actually watch an episode, you realize it was a terrible show.
It was It was nightmarish.
I think Melfi was a time and a place. It was fun at the time, but I think if we were to pull out the tapes, I don't think we were missing anything by not doing it anymore.
Remember Paul McCartney's fantastic song, Meat Free Monday?
Of course. Monday.
It's a fun day. It's a fun day.
And it's happening all around the world.
I did not realize that that was only one day of the week.
Hello, Kevin and Dean. It's Paul McCartney. Here's my new song. It's Taco Tuesday, it's a new day, and I'm serving it with some beans and rice.
All right. Who knew? We talked about an app where people could get together and cuddle.
Yes.
I think it's an app. It's a cuddle app.
Yeah, it's called Cuddler.
No sex. You want to cuddle with somebody, you get together with them wherever, in a park. Wherever, you lay next to each other and you cuddle. And we talked to Dave, the King of Mexico's girlfriend, who doesn't really like to cuddle, but didn't sort of want Dave to do it either.
Hey, Dave, I'll cuddle with you.
There you go. Boy. Sounds like a win-win.
That's right. This is to the theme of Bean Loves Death.
Bean's a creep any time of day. He gets really giddy and he screams hooray. Oh, something's wrong with his head. Creep. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now we hope you see what we mean. Oh, Bean's a creep. Oh, Bean's a creep. I'm a creep.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that.
I like people to put a lot of work into it, a lot of effort like that. Write out the lyrics, get ready to do it, probably rehearse it a couple times. Uh-huh. We've talked to Dr. Drew every week. This past week it was about Ebola.
I am listening to Dr. Drew and you guys talk about Ebola, and it just makes me want to do one thing, shake my ass and start singing Ebola, Ebola, Ebola.
Ebola, Ebola, don't touch your friend, don't touch him, no eating something dangerous, Ebola.
My favorite line in that is don't eat something. Don't eat something.
They don't know.
That's a lyric.
That is the best song ever about a deadly plague, though.
It is. In that category, it is. Mm-hmm. Speaking of great music, what about fart metal? That's what this guy's calling about.
Oh, my God. Fart metal is the best thing in the world. I can't stop laughing. I'm crying so hard.
I feel like we play enough moments with Kevin. I think that's covered, don't you?
Well,
however,
we enjoy them.
Do we need requests?
Oh, man, my house is so dirty. It's time for spring cleaning. I mean, fall cleaning. Winter terrorist situation.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Clean house a little bit.
A little spring, fall,
hoarder.
Spring cleaning? No, fall. It's fall.
Whatever kind of cleaning we need to do.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, so 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day, call on any topic.
Fast Fright passes to Queen Mary's Dark Harbor every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, you get to skip the line for all the mazes, thanks to John Adams from Moreno Valley. He just won his. Yours are coming up between 8 and 9. Hey, I mentioned this Operation Comedy, which is an organization that I was unfamiliar with, but they provide the healing power of laughter to our entire military family, past and present, free of charge. This sounds like the best deal going. John Stites is the founder of Operation Comedy. He is himself an Army veteran and a comedian, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, John, how are you, man?
I'm well. How you guys doing?
We're very good.
Terrific.
Good.
I can't believe we had never heard of Operation Comedy, but it sounds like an awesome program. You've been doing this for how long?
I've been doing it for about 6 years total, the last two out here in Los Angeles.
And you put on shows like the one you've got coming up on November 1st at the Arc Theater in Hollywood. You just put on free comedy shows for the military, for veterans, and their families.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't know is that a lot of the groups out there only entertain the active military. So I'm a stand-up comic, and a veteran did a show for the USO and didn't understand that there was nothing going on for veterans. And there's 30 million of them throughout the country, so I thought, well, here's an idea. We'll see where it goes. And it just kept on growing and growing. So we're the only one in the country that's only for veterans, military, and their families, the whole family.
That's a great idea. I didn't know that USO didn't do things for past military people.
Yeah, exactly.
I had no idea.
Only active and retirees.
Yeah.
So you say that there are almost a million veterans in the Los Angeles area. That's an astonishing number of people.
It is. It's a staggering number. There's 1.8 million total in Southern California. It's the largest veterans population in the entire world.
So tell them about Operation Comedy this year, November 1st, and what's going on.
Yeah, this is probably the gnarliest lineup we've had. We've got Jay Moore, who is an absolute beast. I've been a fan of his, you know, going back probably 20 years, and he's done so much acting, people forget what an animal he is as a stand-up comic. Eliza Schlesinger, who was the winner of Last Comic Standing, has more credits than I care to list. And then myself, I'll be hacking it up and trying to make some decent jokes there on the front end. And then we've got some special guests coming through, guys who have been in, I've seen them at, and worked with them at the Improv, that are going to be popping in and doing some guest sets. We've got our house band, Sean Lane and the Hellhounds. Again, it's completely free, operationcomedy.com. But, again, I cannot overstate, it's only for veterans. So civilians say, can I come? I say, hell no. Unless you bring a veteran, then you're welcome.
This venue, the Arc Theater in Hollywood, is not a huge place for us for a lineup like that. Aren't you? You're a little bit worried about too many people showing up, or is it an RSVP thing, or how are you handling the crowds?
It's about a 700 seater, and so what we've got is the online RSVP process. So operationcomedy.com, our Facebook page, Twitter. There's a link, and then there's a shut off. And our shows do typically sell out in about a week. And that's without, you know, somebody like yourselves stepping up and helping us out with some media muscle. So this one will sell out awfully quickly, I'm sure.
Look, you get a guy like Jay Moore, and basically you're good.
John, is this whole thing just an elaborate hoax for you so that you as a stand-up comedian can say that you opened for Jay Moore? Is that the whole reason you're putting on this charade for the veterans?
Hell yes. Well, I say up front, I tell them, because I served in the peacetime military, so I do, like, you know, all these combat. I've got tattoos. I look like a big guy. People assume I was in combat. And so, like, Marines will be like, where'd you do your tours, brother? I'll be like, Dallas, man. I just really, like,
I can't. We had to work out really hard, though.
Exactly.
Hey, it gets hot out there in the summertime. Come on.
Exactly.
Hey, man, now they got the Ebola.
Yeah. You never seen me sweep up a parking lot. Don't talk trash until you've seen it in action.
Well, when we heard about this, we really did want to just share it with our audience because it was news to us, and I bet there are a lot of military veterans out there and their families who would have a great time at this show who might not have otherwise heard about it. Again, Operation Comedy is the organization, and the website is operationcomedy.com. The event is at the Arc Theater in Hollywood on November 1st with our friend John Stites on the bill, along with comedian Jay Moore and Schlesinger?
Eliza Schlesinger.
Eliza, who we've had on the show also before here, by the way. She's very, very funny. I think it's a great event, John. I'm so happy you're doing it, and I'm glad we got a chance to spread the word, sir.
Dude, thank you guys so much for your help. Hope to see you there.
You bet. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:53.
Ralph Garman is out this week. By the way, the beautiful Kat Corbett's going to be joining us a little bit early today. She's going to be doing showbiz for us next hour.
I will believe that when I see her.
It does seem early for Kat, doesn't it? In the meantime, we are taking turns filling in for Ralph. What's your policy on Floyd Mayweather, Kevin? You're down on him pretty
much.
We'll
not spend another penny on him as long as I live.
And how come?
It's not just that he's, he's outspoken and he's the anti-hero. Mm-hmm. He's the guy everybody loves to hate and all that kind of stuff. But he's also probably more talented than most fighters. But he won't fight. So when he gets in there, he's got the title. And I don't know that he's ever been beaten. He just turns his shoulder and sort of just blocks punches and rarely goes on the offensive and dances around the ring and doesn't fight.
He's fighting to not lose rather than to win.
He's not actually fighting. I don't think. And so it really drives me crazy. And he makes $35, $40 million a fight. And by the
nuts.
Way, the pay-per-views for his fights are $20 more than the pay-per-view for UFC.
It's another reason to hate him.
Like $75 or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you're right. He's got the money. And we've heard lots of stories in the past about how much he loves to gamble. This is what Muggs would be like, by the way, if Muggs had the money. Remember the rumor last year, and I don't think it was ever confirmed, but remember we heard that he bet $10 million on the Broncos to win the Super Bowl. Remember?
I do remember that.
There was another story that he spent, bet $6 million on an NBA playoff game last year as well.
Good Lord.
Sometimes he posts receipts of his winnings. Sometimes they're not confirmed and we don't know. This one looks to be real, though. It looks like he bet $720,000 last month on the Colts to beat the Jaguars and had a payoff of $1.4 million. He bet over $700,000 on one regular season NFL game, but doubled his money.
What? That's crazy.
The Colts won 44-17 that game, which meant they not only won, they covered the point spread, and he doubled his money, $700 in, $1.4 million out. And he Instagrammed a copy of that receipt from the Las Vegas casino.
Yeah, he loves doing that. He Instagrams checks, too.
Yeah, he does.
As much as I hate him, it's weird to see a check for $35 million.
What do you do with that?
Like a check. I don't know. Do you go in and go, I'd like to cash this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how something like that handles at that level. But, I mean, even if you had Floyd Mayweather money, do you think you'd ever be comfortable putting down $1 million on a sporting event?
I would never. But I also think yeah, he's probably just that guy.
Yeah.
If he had $1,000, he would probably bet $500. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like certain. I don't think money changes you. I think it just amplifies.
I think you're right.
Who you are.
Anyway, you hate to see good things happen to him, but apparently that good thing did happen.
The president is coming to town. Very exciting because we know that they're going to close down a lot of streets. And that's always fun.
Yes.
Shrews with traffic. That's always fun. Going to the house of Gwyneth Paltrow for a fundraiser. And this is weird. I don't understand this. But it says if you're interested in tomorrow night's gala, shindig with the president, you can spend either $1,000 or up to $32,000.
I imagine one lets you maybe meet the president.
And get a picture.
Sit at his table, get a picture.
But what does $1,000 get you? Do you stand outside a window? And, you know what I mean? Because
you're in another room, but you can look through the door.
You're spending almost nothing. You have to get almost nothing, right?
Yes, I would. I can't imagine there's much involved. I'm sure there's no handshake or photo or sitting down with.
I think I'm with Lisa. Like, you're in another room and you can put your ear up to the wall.
Yeah, you don't even get food or drink, I'm sure.
Isn't it funny, though, that the president is not welcome in any big city in this country?
Well,
just because of what he does to traffic. Yeah.
It's just a nightmare. It makes it such a nightmare. Like, traffic here isn't bad enough already.
I know.
I think the president of the United States should be required to live abroad. That's what I think. I don't know what your feeling, guys, is on the band AC/DC, but I am all in and have been my whole life. They have been together for over 40 years. They're getting ready to come out with a brand new album. By the way, their last album, which was, 2008, Black Ice, debuted at number one in 31 countries and has sold nearly 8 million copies worldwide.
Wow.
So for folks who hear the words AC/DC and go, oh, that's that band that used to be popular in the 70s, they sold 8 million copies of their last album, okay? So there are a lot of AC/DC fans out there. And one of the things I love about them is that all of their songs are the same.
Yeah.
They have a 40-year career, and all of their songs are the same. The new album is called Rock or Bust, and I thought it might be fun for us to hear a little bit of what AC/DC sounds like here in the 21st century. This is a part of their new song called Play Ball. That is not. That's the wrong. That's not the right cut.
Kevin. It sounds like they added some trombones and cows.
That is not the right.
All right, here
cut
it is.
At all.
This is AC/DC.
Nope.
This is AC/DC.
This is. But this is Wing, and this is the Armenian Comedian. This is not the new song we're looking for.
Wait, let's hear the drums.
They've never sounded hotter.
They are great stuff.
But it's good.
All right, that's not it. All right, here's AC/DC for real. It sounds like every other AC/DC song, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's their thing. They've got their formula down, and it works for them.
I like that.
Play Ball is also part of, if you've been watching any of the Major League Baseball playoffs on TBS, they use that in some of the promos, too, because it's called Play Ball. So, anyway, new AC/DC, it's been a while.
All right, celebrity birthdays. Actor Paul Hogan is 75 years old. Civil rights leader Jesse Jackson, 73. Chevy Chase is 71. Sigourney Weaver actress, 65, still working. Daryl Hammond, who is now the announcer on SNL, is 59. Matt Damon, one of the nicest people in the entire world, is 44 years old. Nick Cannon could not be happier on his 34th birthday that he's free of Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
One of our favorites, Travis Pastrana, is 31. Bruno Mars is 29. And Angus T. Jones, the dude from Two and a Half Men that says, please do not watch Two and a Half Men anymore, is 21.
All right.
And that's the Showbiz Beat.
Tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, got a good show planned for you, including our friend John Taffer from Bar Rescue will be returning. Also, Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow. Jim Rome is going to be joining us.
Wow. We're going to start doing a weekly thing with him.
How about that? How awesome is that? And UFC welterweight champion Johnny Hendricks. That's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking forward to our friend Ken Marino stopping by next week as well. It's in the news again, another failed marriage proposal. I have a lot of mixed feelings about marriage proposals, as you know, because I feel like the point of the thing is, hey, will you marry me? I feel like that's all you need to make it a super special day for both people involved. But it seems like we've gotten to a point now where that part doesn't even matter. It's really how many circus performers did you hire to entertain me while you were asking, or how tall was the building we were standing on the top of? You know what I mean? It's just, it's turned into this elaborate thing now.
I feel like you're right, but I think both sexes are caught in it, because I think the girls get asked by other girls, how did he do it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now they have to have a good story for the approval of their friends, right?
And social media doesn't help, because now we see so many examples of how people are doing it spectacularly.
Right. So then there's all the pressure on the guy. He goes, I can't just ask her to marry me. I have to really.
I think there's tons of women, though, that don't need or want that.
Oh, is that true? I hope that's true.
I agree.
Because really the impression I get is that, he asked me to marry him, but it super sucked. You know what I mean? That's the impression that I get of a lot of these. But I mean, you're right, Lisa, because of social media, I mean, it seems like, and this is true of weddings too, if you don't have a YouTube video with costume characters doing choreography, then it sucks.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of at the point where we're at, is everything has to be a Hollywood production. So I'm sure the guy's intention
San Diego.
I'm sure his intention was, hey, this is going to be super romantic and super special to take my lady up in a hot air balloon and propose to her. She'll never see this coming. It'll be a magical moment. But then, when problems with the balloon, the thing ends up in the water. I think the news covered that for us.
It all started as a romantic idea, a proposal over the ocean near San Diego at sunset from a hot air balloon.
All right. That's pretty spectacular.
That would be beautiful.
Hot air balloon.
Seems romantic.
Sunset over the ocean.
Okay.
The balloon crash happened on the day the man had been planning to propose to his girlfriend, and it was a proposal to remember. Needless to say, things didn't go according to plan.
All right, what did she say, yes or no? You're in a hot air balloon, girls. You're in a hot air balloon, and it crashes in the ocean.
Did he ask me before it crashed or after?
I believe he asked you before.
Well, then I already said yes.
See the video there? When the hot air balloon went down into the water, well, luckily no one was hurt, and we're told she said yes.
She said yes.
Well, I would hope she would say yes regardless of that. I mean, if they're supposed to be married, be married. But we thought it'd be fun to take your marriage proposal disasters. We do this topic about once a year because we never seem to run out of stories on topics. At 1-800-520-1067.
They don't have to have said no.
Right.
For the disaster to happen. I mean, what you planned went south.
Right.
I'm happy if they did say no, by the way, because how many times, Kevin, have you seen the viral videos of the people who insist on proposing at a sporting event?
Yeah. I do always root for the no answer. I do. That would be awesome. Please say no. Please say no.
And doesn't it seem like that happens a fair amount of times that the girl
sometimes
says no?
It does sometimes. Like one time the girl ran out of the arena.
Yes, exactly.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
So if something went wrong with your marriage proposal, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And I asked associate producer Christine to step in here because she was horrified by some of these stories that we've talked about, including the hot air balloon. What's the problem here, Christine?
I just feel like if you're going to have a marriage proposal, it's about you and that person, right?
Right.
And all these things seem to be about getting attention for whoever is usually the groom doing the proposal. And it seems so insincere. Like, you lose the whole point of what you're trying to do.
So in other words, it's not a private moment anymore. It's not just special about you two. So what would happen, not that anyone will ever ask you, but
no,
what would happen
if
you were at, let's say you had a boyfriend, like that had happened, and you guys were at a Dodgers game. Like,
like
I assume you would only date a Dodgers fan.
Absolutely.
I know you're hardcore. So what happens if, you know, you're like, you're at the Dodgers or in the World Series and he proposes to you? Would that still give you a bad taste in your mouth?
And by the way, on the big screen, right? That's how you have to organize it.
Yeah. I'd be so pissed that he was distracting me from the game at that point.
I'm watching a game, a baseball game.
We're in the World Series.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right, maybe that's a bad example. How about if he just did it, you know, in public, you know, at a mall or something like that? Or,
you know, I think that the thing is, I'm not somebody who enjoys being the center of attention. You know, it's like, I don't think everybody wants to be in a YouTube video and have their entire private lives.
It doesn't count unless it's in a YouTube video, Christine.
I understand. You can't forward it on social media. I totally get it. But, I mean, I understand that that could be something that is, like, really awesome to share with people, but it just seems like that it's not about the marriage or the proposal even at that point.
Yeah,
it's about getting on the news or, you know, becoming a YouTube video that, you know, goes viral or
and
something.
And it could be either one. It could be the girl who is demanding of that. It could be the guy who's trying to be impressive and let everybody know.
Like the balloon thing, we never would have heard about the proposal if it hadn't crashed, right? I mean,
I doubt it,
it's kind of a private moment.
It is kind of private. He didn't do it in front of a big crowd. That's true.
Well, there were hundreds of people that watched it crash. I mean, they literally did it in front of a lot of people.
That's true. All right, let's take a call from Lisa to get us going here. Again, we're taking your calls of marriage proposals gone wrong. Thank you, Christine, by the way. 1-800-520-1067. Lisa, thanks so much for calling. What happened?
Okay, well, it was my birthday. I was on a trip to Vegas with my ex-boyfriend, and he, I guess, was planning this proposal. He took me on a surprise helicopter ride, and we landed in the middle of the Grand Canyon, which is romantic and everything, but it was very, very public because there were lots of different people, like lots of groups of people going there.
They do a lot of tours over the Grand Canyon. You landed on the floor?
Yeah, on the floor in the middle of the Grand Canyon. He, like, picked up a rock, and he had, you know, sculpted it and placed it there ahead of time, and it had our initials in it. And it was very, very, like, overboard. And it was great, except for the fact that I truly believe that you shouldn't do public proposals because I didn't want to marry him. And I was under so much pressure because there were so many people there. And it was my birthday, and we had friends waiting for us back at the hotel when we came back, like, all expecting to congratulate us and everything. So I did say yes, but the disaster part, aside from the fact that I didn't want to marry him,
was that
on the way home, he threw up in the helicopter. Because he got really bad motion sickness. I don't know why he chose that of all things. It was pretty gross. But we got back, and then we had a long talk on the way home from Vegas, and it didn't work out.
You know that part where I said I'd marry you?
Yeah.
Not so much.
So, Lisa, this is fascinating to me. So did you know that it was a bad idea to say yes, but still said yes anyway just because you didn't want to hurt his feelings?
I mean, I just didn't think that we had been together for long enough. So the long talk was basically, hey, it's going to be a really long engagement to see if it works out, and it did not end up working.
Oh, I see. I got you. Okay.
I think that's what most people who are nice would do. Like, you feel terrible if you're going to tell the guy no, but you sort of did the right thing by giving him a heads up, like, I'm not ready right now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you're going to propose, you need to give the person the opportunity to say no, and if you're doing it in front of this big crowd of people, it's too much pressure, and I just think that it's much more romantic to make it a private thing. It doesn't need to be a YouTube sensation at
all. Is throw up a red flag?
It would not have canceled the deal if I was.
If you were really,
if you were ready, exactly. Yeah. I just love that there's vomit in your proposal story. I just think
come on.
We don't need. We all know what vomit is. We don't need. Lisa, you're awesome. You handled it just right. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Okay, Brian, you hang on, and everybody else too. We want to hear from you. Marriage proposals gone wrong. Give us a call 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next.
Wow, you brought it.
Oh, my God.
That's the first time there's been nothing but applause for Muggs.
How dare you?
First time in his life.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the Kevin Abeen Show here on a Wednesday morning. Brand new internet roundup for you coming up. Plus, we're going to talk Clippers basketball just after 9 if you are, like Dave, the King of Mexico, excited about the new season. First, though, we're taking marriage proposals gone wrong. Talking about that story down in San Diego. Guy asked his lady up in a hot air balloon, and she said yes, but the balloon promptly ended up in the water, and they had to be rescued. So I think ultimately, since they ended up being okay, that's a way better story than just we went up in a balloon and it was cool, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so, because you can always say, oh, yeah, and then we ended up in the ocean, and it's a funny story.
It's a way better story. I mean, if you knew you were going to be okay, you might almost wish that, I think.
Oh, I think if you knew you were going to be okay, you'd wish a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true. I've always thought
that, like a plane wreck or stuff like that. I always thought, if you're positive you'd be okay, and the people you love would be okay, would you do it?
Right. Would you get the Ebola if you knew you would be fine and completely survive it?
No, I don't think so.
Because how awesome would that story be forever that you used to have the Ebola?
I don't want to bleed it from everywhere.
Okay. We're taking your calls about proposals gone wrong. I want to start with Shelley. She's in Newport Beach. She's on line one because, well, again, this is one of those, I feel like just based on what little I've seen, the guy was trying to do the right thing. I want to find out how it went so wrong. Hi, Shelley. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Well, he tried. We went to skiing for our Valentine's weekend. He had the ring on the mountain, tried to get me to snowboard off out of bounds. I wouldn't go. And then I proceeded to completely break my leg in half.
Oh!
In half. Like,
were you trying to snowboard off the beaten path because he wanted you to?
Yep.
Mm. Oh, dude. Why was he trying to get you off the path? Just because he was trying to get someplace private so that he could propose?
Exactly. To get away. We were up with friends. He wanted private time away from our friends. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll try it.
Okay, so you break your leg, and then what? Does he go down and get help, and they come up with the snowmobile?
Well, we're in a mountain where they send over a doctor. We're up in Canada, and they sent over a doctor who gave me a shot of Demerol, a can of laughing gas, which was amazing.
Sweet, I need that.
So I'm having a great old time. I ask people to take pictures. I'm waving down that sled.
Your leg's like at a 90-degree angle where it's not supposed to be.
Completely broken. Don't know it. Get in the ambulance. Get to the hospital where they give me morphine on top of everything else I have. We're waiting to go into surgery. And he decides to propose.
What?
No!
Wait, right then while you were in the hospital under all the drugs?
Totally. So I have a way out, although I've never taken an exam up.
So you said yes.
Barely. I could barely speak. I was so drugged out. I was sinking into the mattress I was on.
Speak more clearly. I can't hear you.
That is fantastic. Well, he was just determined to propose that day, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was. He did a great job, after all. And you're right. It makes the best story ever.
If it goes wrong. Yeah.
How long have you guys been married?
We had our anniversary on Sunday, 12 years.
Oh. Wow. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you
for the call. We appreciate that. All right. Wow, this is great. Let's go to Brian, our first caller a few minutes ago. Her story involved vomit. I think Brian in Costa Mesa might also.
Oh, no. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. No vomit, thankfully, but awfully, awfully close. I took my wife up to Hearst Castle and wanted to, you know, ask her romantically out by the pool or somewhere real cool with a great view up there. Well, she got car sick on the bus ride up. They go up this nasty, windy road.
It's a super windy road, right?
Yeah, intensely windy, and she was not having it. Then the weather comes in, fog rolls in, and that place can get dense. You can barely see anything outside of the castle.
Right, so now that view that you wanted is gone.
It's completely gone. So I'm running out of options quick. Then I'm thinking inside. Well, our tour group is filled with weirdos. We've got all kinds of weird people in our group, so it's just getting discouraging quickly. I ended up not going for it at the castle, went back to the hotel and asked her naked in the bathtub.
Asked her what?
We ended up leaving the tour, going to the grocery store, buying a bottle of champagne, and I ended up doing the question in the bathtub.
All right. Okay. Which was probably fine. Did she say yes?
She did, thank God. It was.
So you spent all that time trying to get that elaborate, people-filled proposal together, and instead you just asked her with just a two, and it worked out good.
Yeah, we, you know, the video camera going, had a major plan, ringing the talk the whole night. It was pretty nerve-wracking, and ended up just coming down to the two of us in the bathtub.
Should I now? Oh, no, not now. Oh, she looks up. She looks like up. Nope, I better not.
That's strong. He was just videotaping his girlfriend naked in the bathtub. That's all that was going on there. All right, great story. So, Lisa, let me ask you this. Yes. So do you think, and I'm just asking you to guess here because you're a lady person, do you think that most women want to be asked in a public setting or want to be asked in a private setting? Maybe there's a takeaway for the guys listening to the show.
I mean, personally, and I can only speak for me, but a private setting, absolutely. But you know how your girl is. If she's taking pictures of her food and Instagramming and doing all that, then she may be someone who wants a public proposal.
Yeah, you can pretty much. If you do, by the way, if you're a guy and you don't know if your girl wants a public proposal or not, you're in trouble.
Don't ask.
Right. Figure that out first.
Because you don't know her.
Because you don't know anything about her.
Right.
And avoid throw up. I think that's also the message.
Good
here
lesson.
Today.
Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico.
What's up?
Don't have time. No time. Dave's still trying to keep What's Up alive, by the way.
Yes.
The producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Dave, is in studio with us here because we do this feature called Internet Roundup. And before we hear this week's best viral videos of the week that you can see up at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, we have been, in addition to accepting Halloween songs from you, we have been accepting Internet Roundup theme songs as well. You guys tell me, this listener sent this in, and I think this is his ode to Paul McCartney. Let's see what you think.
Internet Roundup, better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on krock.com. Internet Roundup, better turn your sound up.
I like it.
Internet Roundup on kevinandbean.com.
Just as good as Meat Free Monday, by the way.
Absolutely.
That's all right.
So nicely that gets done. Us started in a nice nice way.
I like it.
Here's the first video. Little John has lent his smash hit song, Turn Down for What, to a Get Out the Vote campaign. This is a pretty cool video. It's got a bunch of people in it. Lena Dunham is in it, and Whoopi Goldberg and Natasha Lyonne. I think we'll hear Fred Armisen in the clip. But basically, they're just talking about how it's important for whatever your cause is, whether you're for, you know, for equal rights or better treatment of the environment, whatever it is, get out there and vote in November. Here's a little bit of that.
What's up? It's Lil Jon, and I'm turning out for the legalization of marijuana.
Hi, I'm Fred. I'm turning out because I want to impress my friends. That's the only reason to ever do anything.
It's called Turn Out for What?
Turn Out for
yeah.
What, exactly?
Yeah.
Let's Sophia, try to get the vote turned
Sophia
out.
Sophia Bush is in this video.
Yeah.
And I don't care what she's backing. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll back whatever she wants.
I agree.
Jeopardy, you're sexist. Yeah, I agree, Sophia Bush. Yeah, whatever.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Honest Trailers are back, and this one is like shooting fish in a barrel, as the old expression goes, because how hard is it to make fun of the last Transformers movie, Age of Extinction? Oh, that's not even the video that we're playing next, though. I apologize. I'm looking at the wrong list here. We'll get to that in a minute. Better Call Saul is not out until February. That's the new AMC show that's a spinoff of Breaking Bad, but they have released an extended trailer with a lot of great clips from the show and also a video by the country singer Junior Brown. This is pretty catchy, you guys.
The FBI finds kids trapped in your creepy van. You stay real cool and tell them you're the ice cream man. But all that crying just gave you away. Who you gonna call to skip a prison stay? Saul, Saul, you better call Saul. To fight for your rights when your back's to the wall. Sticking to the man, justice for all. You better call Saul.
Doesn't that so sound like the kind of theme song you would see on a late-night commercial for some
yeah.
sleazy attorney?
Yeah, and he does. He plays sort of a sleazy attorney,
he
right,
is
anyway.
A sleazy attorney.
Yeah, yeah, so it's perfect. Yeah,
country like, sucks.
Country
How
does suck.
How dare
oh
you, Dave.
God.
I love Dave. Junior Brown. I love him.
That's the worst.
Saturday Night Live is hit and miss, like always, but they did a pretty funny video this past weekend that was basically talking about how if you're a white person in America, your days as the majority are numbered. We're going to be out numbered in a few years, so we might as well enjoy it. Listen up.
We're all good people.
We're whites, and for now, we're on top.
We know it won't last forever, so for these final years of white dominance, we're gonna soak it all in.
Because eventually, we'll grow old and we'll die. And then, it's all yours, Mexicans.
Yeah, Mexicans!
Like you could talk about Mexicans. So, Dave, you're this close to take it over, man. One day, we're gonna be producing your show.
Thank God this isn't real. This is a fake commercial on Funny or Die for NBC rebooting the Knight Rider franchise, except Dale Earnhardt Jr., the race car driver, is playing the Knight Rider. And then, of course, the car Kit is a woman, and she just is not letting Dale have any fun.
You're eating fast food again? I'm calling your mother.
Don't.
Hi, Kit. Please tell me he's not eating fast food again.
I'm a grown-up. I can eat what I want.
This car is getting heavier, and it's not me.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know what, your car nagging you all the
no.
time. All right, now it's time for that Honest Trailers. Kevin, you are the guy who's paid for every single Transformers movie. Even you can agree Age of Extinction was utter crap, right?
Well, here's the thing. The special effects are always great, but it was about three different movies.
It was.
Yeah. Like, you would see it, and then you would go, okay, it's over. And then they would go in a whole different direction.
And then end up in China.
It was so
bizarre. They kind of make fun of that in this Honest Trailers, because isn't, like, the last third of the movie in Chinese, practically, because they were trying to sell it to China as a movie market. They're trying to get the Transformers popular in Japan, or even or in China,
well,
rather, even more so.
Which, I don't know if you know this, but there was a reality show in China to be in the movie.
Right.
So they kind of worked it in.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of reasons and a lot of ways to make fun. Listen up what Honest Trailers did.
Shia LaBeouf is gone. Instead, settle in with Boston native Texan Cade Yeager, a man fighting against all odds to sound intelligent.
That is a super simplex theater projector. It's very rare.
Who taught you how to solder a circuit? Me. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Good old Mark Wahlberg.
The father of Transformer.
Mark Wahlberg in the right role, I think, is awesome.
This
I
one
agree.
Wasn't.
This was not awesome for him.
I agree. I don't think Ben Kingsley could make that dialogue sing. I really don't. All right, here's a video we'll hear a little piece of, and then I think we're going to have to revisit this later on in the week, because this is a story that we can all identify with. You see a sad, frail, old, gray-haired lady out on the street panhandling, and you want to help her, so you give her a couple bucks. What do you do the next day when you pull in to buy gas and she's sitting there in a 2013 Fiat that's way nicer than your car? So he's sitting there. He starts videotaping her as somebody else who has also noticed her and has previously given her cash on the street walks up to her and confronts her about this scam that she's pulling.
I see this car here tomorrow, I'm going to bust the window. I work hard. 40 hours. I see you hungry. I give you every day $3, $2. Thursday, I did not eat to give you $4. You're a better car than me. Boom, go fly.
Oh my God! He gives her $3 and $4 and goes without food, and she drives up in that car. He is so angry.
He's so angry.
What could she possibly say to defend herself?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Well, tomorrow, Lisa, maybe we'll play the news report where the people on the street. Where was this, Dave? You remember?
Oklahoma City.
They go up to her. The news goes up to her and wants to interview her about it, and she starts hitting them.
Basically,
I don't have a car. Get out of here! You don't know what you're talking about. The whole thing's a giant scam. She's making more money than most of the people who are donating to her out on the street.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And she's 78 years old. All right. Conan, of course, he's got his late night talk show on TBS from time to time. He sends Triumph the Insult comic dog out on the street. And this time, a great episode as he basically takes on the Times Square mascots. These are the people, we've got them in Hollywood too, who dress up like the comic book characters and they charge you money to take photos. Well, Triumph is having none of that.
Hello, Kitty. You make the real money around here. I know. No, going back to the hotel rooms of Asian businessmen, right? What's that, Mickey?
How good is Mom?
Why the cigar?
Yeah.
It's Mickey and Ricardo.
Triumph has a lot of fun with those characters. Jimmy Kimmel's got a couple of videos, like usual, in the Internet Roundup this week, including an ongoing series that he does with his friend Snoop Dogg, where Snoop narrates nature footage. And in this case, Snoop is trying to get his head around something that he has never seen before, which is a snow leopard.
What kind of animal is that, though? Is that a leopard and a cheetah and a lynx mix? That's an albino tiger, right? Y'all made that up on y'all my imagination, man. I'm high.
I love the Planet Earth's segments. Yeah.
They're all good.
They're all funny, yeah.
Snoop is just reacting to what he sees. And by the way, snow leopards are real, but none of us have seen them.
Exactly.
They're rare.
It's hilarious to see him do his play-by-play there, like when the polar bear tries to eat the walrus and stuff. He's like, what are you doing? Jimmy, of course, every week does This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. He beeps words that don't need it to make them just sound filthy.
If you love today is your day.
Yeah.
It's National
I want to acknowledge the members of the Congressional Black.
Did you suck some
over the years?
Yes, yes. At least five times.
And finally, this is the biggest video of the week. This girl is named Emily, and she is how old do you think, Dave, who's singing to the Frozen Let It Go song?
Oh, man. Like
10?
I'd say.
Yeah, 9 or 10?
I'd say 8.
She's pretty young.
8 or 9, yeah.
And she goes for it. And I don't know who wrote this song for her or how she does it, but she manages to do an entire parody song of Let It Go that she has changed the lyrics to make it Let Me Poop.
And one thought, how could it smell just like that? It's so bad. I think it killed my cat. Let me poop. Let me poop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very touching.
What I like about it most is I know she's singing that at school, and I'm sure the teachers are going to appreciate it.
What do I do?
Yeah.
I can't let this go on.
Yeah.
Well, that video is definitely worth checking out. Plus, one we don't have sound for that Dave found, which is some kangaroos having a street fight in Australia.
That's the best.
Like, right out in front of somebody's house, these kangaroos are boxing in the streets for five minutes.
It looked fake to me. There's no way that these two kangaroos square off against each other.
And it's like a 7-minute video.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's pretty crazy. But you can see all of these right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Paul.
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KRock.com.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous KRock at 8:54.
Ralph is out this week. We're taking turns filling in, and it just got very, very pretty in here, ladies and gentlemen, as Kat Corbett slides in. Hi, Kat.
Guys.
I gotta tell you, getting Kat up at this time of the day,
yeah,
is like getting most of you up at 1 a.m. Like she didn't know it existed.
Right.
She's not happy.
My eyes are burning. There's not enough Visine. I don't know how you guys do it.
It is weird that you wake up every morning at 9:30 and are at work by 10. I don't know how you do it, but yeah, there is a
between
there is a
10 and 10:30, Bean. Let's not give her too much credit.
Well, thank you, Kat, for coming in. We really appreciate it. What's going on today?
Wait, instead of for Kat, we actually use this.
I like it.
Which is the sound she made when we called her at South by Southwest.
That's the sound I make most mornings. Well, I hate to start off this bummer of showbiz, and it doesn't necessarily sound like showbiz, but I'll get to it.
Okay.
The first person diagnosed with Ebola in the U.S. has passed away.
Sounds great.
Bean!
Don't look at me, that's your mom!
Oh, that's mom!
Mom!
Why is she happy about it?
Why does your mom love Ebola?
Oh my God, she doesn't! This was my point. Thomas Eric Duncan, he was 42. This guy apparently contracted Ebola in Liberia, possibly when he was taking a sick friend to the hospital. Okay, so there's that. It has to do with showbiz because now the panic news is going to set in on the TVs.
Sure.
And my mother was already afraid I was going to get Ebola, among other things, living out here in Los Angeles.
Just because you live out on the West Coast?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So now I am going to get an Ebola storm the next time I talk to her.
Oh, my God.
Look, we've had Dr. Drew on this topic a couple of times over the past month or so, and he swears to us that it's very difficult to get Ebola and that we shouldn't be panicking, and unless you have direct contact with fluids from a person who has Ebola, don't worry about it. It's not airborne. I mean, he's really playing it down. So who's right, Dr. Drew or your mom?
Well, my mother is like, you know the mom and So I Married an Axe Murderer who gets her weekly world news?
Yes.
That's my mother.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Dr. Drew then, if you don't mind.
I'm just saying, media, get the facts, calm down, precautions are fine, but do not set in with the panic newscasts.
They love them.
All right, well, let's move on to at least the Say Anything TV show is happening.
They canceled that?
Apparently within the last, 15 hours. I heard this story last night. It was supposed to be a TV show reboot. Cameron Crowe did not know anything about it.
Right.
Took to Twitter and was like, I have no idea what's going on. A horrible idea. Like, I don't need to see a new Lloyd Dobler with a cell phone in the air playing, you know, like a Linkin Park song, 25 years later. That's not, I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
So, but there is a reboot that's a good possibility. Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
Again? Hasn't that already been a TV show?
Yes, in 1990, was Kevin Meaney starred.
John Candy.
Yeah.
John Candy, the movie, Hughes. Kevin Meaney in the TV show. Yeah,
like
I remember that.
20 years ago or something?
Yes. Do you remember that scene with Macaulay Culkin? And
stop hitting me! I'm going to punch you right in the balls!
Was that
you're saying
scene?
That to Kat?
No!
Freaking Muggs keeps pointing at the clip. I know you have a clip. I'm ready.
I was just going to say that great scene with Macaulay Culkin and John Candy in Uncle Buck.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
I just, you know, that movie I can watch and you can't be in a bad mood.
No, I
haven't seen that movie in forever. That makes me want to see it again.
Right? Like he's the cigar-smoking, booze-drinking uncle who has to watch the kids. And then
every time I come across a John Candy movie, I'm reminded of what a terrible, tragic loss that was. He was a giant of comedy. Kind of like Chris Farley was to the next generation. He's a guy, you know, and they died for similar reasons, but he's a guy that you just look at. He was great in everything, even movies that weren't super good, he was great at.
He was fantastic. But I'm guessing since the writer and director, John Hughes, is dead, and John Candy's dead, who's going to protest an Uncle Buck remake?
Right. Yeah, you're right. They can't kill this one on Twitter like they did Say Anything. Good point.
All right, let's move on to Nerd Alert. The very popular video game Myst is being made into a TV series.
Okay.
Did you guys ever play that?
No.
No, I never did.
I had friends who were obsessed with that video game. Like, obsessed. I guess you could, like, build worlds and do, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think I was having sex while you guys were playing this. It was awesome.
You win.
Legendary Pictures, who co-produced The Hangover, and Christopher Nolan's Batman are at the helm of this.
Well?
I got excited at first because I thought it was Stephen King's The Mist, you know, where the lizards take over and they eat the whole town. And then
that's the M-I-S-T, and you're talking about the M-Y-S-T.
I know. I got all confused. Nah. All right, fine.
Well, you must be really happy to...
Do you imagine growing up with that voice at this hour in the morning?
No, I can't take it in 4-second clips.
Let's get to celebrity birthdays, shall we? Crocodile Dundee, Paul Hogan is 75.
Yeah.
Love that. Jesse Jackson, 73. Actor Chevy Chase is 71. Sigourney Weaver, Ripley, will always be Ripley, 65. Daryl Hammond from SNL is 59. Matt Damon, 44. How do you like them apples?
Lisa has already claimed dibs on him if his marriage breaks up, by the way.
I'm sorry. He's my homeboy. We're like...
Well, there is that.
We're connected with
the
Red Sox.
There is that, but then you've got that mom.
Does that... Exactly. You think Matt Damon's going to want to hear your mom for 1 second?
Oh, thanks a lot.
I do not bring boys home to meet my mother, if you must know, all these years later. Nick Cannon is 34. Travis Pastrana, the extreme athlete, is 31. Bruno Mars, 29. And that disgruntled God Squad Angus T. Jones from Two and a Half Men is 21. That's it for me right now. I'm on again, aren't I? Oh, crap.
Nicely done.
Yes.
You got one more. Thank you.
Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, back in the studio with us.
What's up?
You tweeted yesterday, now that the Dodgers are done and effectively your baseball season is done, you can turn your full attention to your Los Angeles Clippers because, believe it or not, their season is right around the corner.
Yeah, basketball started. NBA is actually starting.
Only 22 days.
Crazy.
First game.
So, Dave, are you feeling the enormous weight of the pressure of your fans waiting to hear your new song this season?
Yes.
Dave has done...
Listen, I thought I was doing you guys a favor by saving your ears from the awesomeness of my songs, you know, and I didn't want you Laker fans, and especially Kevin, to feel bad of how awesome we're doing. And
really?
Yeah.
Is that your answer? That's all you talk to me about.
Yeah.
Is how Clippers
are doing. No. I don't want to rub it in your face.
Yes, you do.
So I took a year off only because, you know, I was really busy.
All right, let me tell you the truth, everybody. Dave does a song for the Clippers at the beginning of every season. Last season, he literally couldn't find a song to parody. So he didn't do one.
I was busy.
Okay.
I was really busy.
You weren't busy. You couldn't find a song. So we've got some clips. This is the first one. The very first one that Dave did was a parody of Justin Timberlake's Sexy Back. The Clippers.
Bird Nation's back.
Yeah.
The Laker fans don't know how to act.
Yeah.
The Lakers suck, and we know that.
Yeah.
We're playoff bound, and that's a fact.
Yeah. Tell them who they are.
Elton Brand.
All right, so that one wasn't very good, but it was his first.
What year was that, Dave? Was that like 2007 or something?
Yeah, it had to be 2006 or 2007 because I was Elton Brand and Sam Cassell. And Dave,
by the way, for folks who don't know, hardcore, longtime Clippers fan, and partly does it just to pump up you and your little Clipper friends for the new season, right?
Yeah, for that song, it was about, 50 of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At most. Yeah. Then he did Kanye's The Good Life.
Welcome to the Clipper Live. This ain't the same team, but I hold on to my dream. A championship rings, the Clip Alive. This team is blue collar, don't make them big dollars, still make the fans holler, the Clip Alive.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think Dave does an excellent job on most of these songs. I really do.
I'm really good, yeah.
T.I. did a song called Whatever You Like.
Yeah, Ben brings the O, Kevy brings the D. Can't go wrong with fans like me, that's right. Clipper's gonna be all right.
Look, you can't be 100%.
Dude, that was dope.
That would suck.
Oh, man, that was fly.
But then he did Jay-Z and Kanye Run This Town.
CLIPPERS. This is Clipper Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on. Put on anything. Represent the Clippers all day, every day.
I like put your jersey on. Put on anything.
Dave, I enjoy all these songs as much as the next guy, but why do you only do hip-hop? Can you not sing rock?
Because those are the easiest ones to parody. And rock, there's really not... I like to use the songs that everybody would know, and...
Plus, you can't sing.
No,
you can't rap either, clearly. Yeah.
Oh, that was... Dude, by the way, that lyric was directly from Jay-Z.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Now we're up to 2010. This is the, shall we say, Brothers in Paris. Again, Jay-Z and Kanye was the song that Dave chose.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City. Ball so hard, this is weird. Clipper's not supposed to be here.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
That was maybe one of your best.
Yeah, let's just package them all together, and that'll be the new
no,
one.
No, we need a new one. Okay.
At this point, now we're up to 2011, and you decided to do a little throwback for us, and you went back to the 90s for Boys to Men. How come, Dave?
I didn't do this one. I just, for the record... Omar did this one. So this is Omar singing, and Omar produced it.
Is that true, or are you lying?
I'm totally
Yeah,
lying.
He's lying. Yeah. This is Dave. Right.
For this one, this was at the end, and this is when I called the season. And I had to pay off some bets, I think, to you, Kevin.
Yeah.
So I made this song instead of...
I
was so mad. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so by the way, we're heading toward... We need suggestions for the King of Mexico to do a parody song for the Clippers this year. That's where we're heading.
Yeah.
So start working through that in your mind. This was him after they lost, and he was very upset, and he did Boys to Men.
How do I say goodbye to this season?
All right, you can't be 100%.
Oh, my God.
I mean, let's be
honest.
See,
that's why I don't sing.
That was terrible. That's why he doesn't do it.
Horrible.
Rock. Then he did Kanye, Mercy.
Oh, okay. Clippers are so thirsty.
Swag.
They're gonna show no mercy.
Swag.
On the way to the championship for the very first time. Clippers are so thirsty.
Swag.
They're gonna show no mercy.
Swag.
On the way to the championship for the very first time.
All right, so then we get to last year. And last year, the bottom fell out of the whole plan here. No pun intended. What happened, King? We had the perfect song that was cresting at the exact right moment that sounds like it was written for the Clippers and you wouldn't do it. Why?
What song is that?
Okay. Here's the thing. Dave couldn't find a song last year. So we said, we have the perfect song for you. It's Drake, Started from the Bottom.
Yeah.
The lyrics, you can almost use the lyrics as is. Started from the bottom, now my whole clique's effing here. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
But we didn't start from the bottom. Now we're
you
here.
Started
we
from
were
the
here.
Bottom. Wait,
no.
Excuse me.
No.
Excuse me. Were you on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the worst sports franchise of any sport in history.
I don't know. I don't.
I would say that started from the bottom. Now you've gotten rid of your horrible owner, and everything is looking better.
Yeah, but that wasn't the case when that song came out.
Okay, so this is the song we thought.
Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Ramone talks about a team being here.
All right.
You can almost play that and say it's you.
So we say that, and then what happens next? What happened? Like, do you have the verse? I mean, that's just the hook.
You know why? Yeah. Because I'm not known for doing songs for my team.
If you listen to that song, it doesn't fit well with the parody.
This is Dave last year, the whole time. And so he never did a song.
I hate Drake.
And he
that's what it is.
It's because
he's Jewish, right?
He never did a song.
He's a flip-flopper.
Which, by the way, is why I believe the Clippers were bounced. Because Dave didn't do a song.
Dave.
Had you done a song, maybe you held up your end of the bargain. Maybe they go further.
They actually did better than the year previous.
But yes, they did.
what do you suggest for this year? Do you guys have any suggestions?
That's the problem is now we need to pick a song. The NBA season, what did you say? Regular season is 22 days?
Yeah.
It's already in preseason.
October 30th. Yeah.
So that's good. Here would be my suggestion.
We'll always be good. We're going to go all the way.
Dave, is there anything?
And I'm sure. Still look, suck.
You listen to a lot of amp radio, and it seems like you mostly only do male hip-hop artists. Is there anything in Shake It Off or All About the Bass or one of those songs that's out that everybody knows and loves?
Yeah, look.
Bang, 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 one of those, maybe?
Yeah, it's just a matter if – listen, you guys always like give me song suggestions that have cool hooks, and I could do something with the hook. It's just the rest of the song. What do I do with it?
Look.
That's where it gets tough, and that's where I got a parody, and that's
– listen to me. We're not the artists. You're the artist. So you know what? Does Kanye complain because he can't come up with a verse? No, he doesn't. He sits down and he works on it until he comes up with a verse.
Listen, there's Weird
and he's
Al.
He's a genius.
There's the Gregory Brothers, and then there's me.
What about your little friend Michael D. Catherwood, though? He would be happy to help you out on a Clippers song if you came up with
it. I don't need help from a Lakers fan.
He's a big Lakers fan,
yeah.
That's what it is.
The last time he tried to help me with something, I was like, no, sir. No, thank you.
Well, Dave, it's unacceptable to go another year without a song. I guess that's the point of this meeting, is that you have to do one this year.
I will do one.
We need a Clipper song.
Tweet us, email us with suggestions, and we're not going to accept I can't find a song this year.
Right. Absolutely.
I'll see what's going on in my mind. And, you know, I asked Diplo for help, so maybe he'll hook me up with the beat.
I'm sure that'll happen. All right. Good luck. Name of my autobiography. It's 9:37 on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
I think you actually already came up with the name of your autobiography on Twitter this week, which is, sorry, that was the wrong link.
That's right.
Which is true. What percentage of links do you tweet, Kevin, that you then have to recall and repost?
Oh, so you're saying the first time it was wrong?
Yes.
Not just I leave it wrong.
Right.
First time wrong, I would say 70%. I would go with that.
It's pretty astonishing.
Copy and paste doesn't work. I don't know what's happening.
Hey, Ralph Garman's off filming Ted 2. Although I heard they fired him because he touched some kids.
I heard that he was on the movie. That was
and
not
then
him.
They fired him.
It was the guy from Seventh Heaven.
Pretty much.
It was not him.
So we're taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat. And this hour, it's our friend Kat Corbett, who usually you don't get to hear until 10 o'clock, but here she is early.
And I've already failed. I left the birthdays in the other room.
All right.
Well, Dave will run them in. Don't worry.
Well, I guess we should start with the scandal of the past 24 hours and talking about Ted 2, because Stephen Collins was fired from the new production. Stephen Collins played the pastor on Seventh Heaven. He is now all being investigated by the NYPD because he confessed on tape during therapy sessions that he is a child molester. Do I have to say allegedly after it's on tape and out there?
I think you do because he hasn't been convicted.
Allegedly.
Even though he's admitted it, he hasn't been convicted yet.
TMZ put the tape up on their site. I can't listen to it. It's just 10 ways awkward for him to... I guess this has been going on 4 years. And
and multiple little girls, right?
Multiple.
Over the course of a number of years, yeah.
And, I guess you can't even trust fictional TV pastors now, right? So that's the way that's going.
What a weird world this is. A fictional TV pastor.
That's the takeaway, Kat.
I think we all knew that a long time ago. Back to you.
All right. Let's get to something a bit brighter. God Only Knows is one of my favorite Beach Boy songs, mm-hmm. but it is probably in my top 10 of all-time favorite songs ever.
Really?
Like, it gives me the chills.
Really?
Okay. Yes. When it plays during Love Actually, when they're all coming into Heathrow, I'm bawling by myself watching that movie.
Now, Kevin, you hate all oldies.
I don't hate this. I just don't have
God
any...
God Only Knows?
I just have no interest in it. I mean, it's, wow. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's just
Paul McCartney, from time to time, asks what's his favorite song. And this is the one he chooses, is the Beach Boys' God Only Knows.
What do you think of it, Bean?
I think I'm right there with you. It's one of the 10 best songs ever.
Yeah, so BBC Music, they've done this amazing song, recorded a cover version with Chris Martin and Lorde and Stevie Wonder and Elton John and Florence of Florence and the Machine. It's just this magnificent collaboration with all of these artists in an 80-piece orchestra. I think you have a bit of it. See, I have chills. Chills.
That doesn't sound... What? I think that's
the wrong clip.
I think that's a farmer playing the trombone for his cows in the field.
I'm crying for so many reasons right now. Oh,
you want a God Only Knows. I'm sorry. My bad.
I may not always love you, but as long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
I want to hear the rest of the song now.
It's still not as good as the original. And I'm not saying that because I'm like poo-pooing the new version. It's just the harmonies on the Beach Boys in that song, you cannot touch it. You just can't.
It's pretty cool to have a super group like this again, though, where they put together all these talented artists.
Yeah, the Brits are on it. And this, you can buy this single and the proceeds benefit the BBC Children's In Need campaign. And the video's beautiful. It's like...
It's very well done.
Yeah.
Can you get it on iTunes?
I don't know. You should be able to.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what are you saying? I didn't do my homework?
Well, I'm just asking. You said you can get it. Bean said, I really want to hear the whole song.
I fell asleep again.
And you said you can buy it. So my question is where?
I'm already starting to fall apart.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to ask such probing questions.
Oh, my God.
What's with all the questions,
Stop
bro?
Stop probing me.
Sorry.
It does not come up on a God Only Knows search on iTunes okay. America right now, so perhaps it hasn't.
Maybe BBC.
Maybe
or some
website.
IT guys fired right
Maybe
now.
Maybe BBC
they
website.
Tag it.
Let's try that.
Okay, well, let's move on to American Horror Story Freak Show premieres tonight on FX.
Are we in?
I love this show.
In.
I love this series. Ryan Murphy is a genius, but I draw the line at clowns, and I am out this season.
So in.
I am so out. I can
really?
Take the bearded lady, the bendy people, the two-headed chick, the people hanging from meat hooks. I can
you
take
can
all
take
of it.
The people hanging from meat hooks.
I saw a poster of it on a bus driving by this
right.
morning.
No, I know. It's not for everybody. I'll admit that, but... You can take all of that, but the clown?
Did you see that stabby clown in the promo?
Yes.
I did.
With the,
yeah.
like, chainsaw-eaten face?
Yeah, it's freaky.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping ever again if I watch this
okay.
show. Oh, my God! Just that song!
Yeah, I'm trying again because I bailed on the last
oh,
one.
Oh, you did? You didn't watch the Louisiana one?
4 episodes in. I bailed on the first one.
Oh, you're bad in every way.
So I'm going to give it
what
another try.
What about Asylum? Did you watch Asylum?
Not
Oh,
at
what's wrong
all.
With you?
Did you bail because you're bored or because it was too much?
The last season, I got bored.
Huh.
Huh.
The first season, it was too much.
Well, then you shouldn't be watching this show.
Maybe it's not for you.
But it's different every time.
Right,
so.
It is. But you clearly don't like it if
I
this
like
is the...
Carnies.
This is the fifth season.
See,
the-
and I don't. I can't do the
carnies. I love carnies because
yeah.
they're all killers. Let's be honest. Right? And they go and move from city to city so they can get away with it?
Yeah.
There's
like,
a lot of nonsense going on there.
I just cannot do with that.
How about Kathy Bates as the bearded lady,
the
by
beard.
The way?
Amazing.
The
and
best.
Then the tiny little, who's the real life world shortest woman is on this show,
yeah,
too.
Chip. Yeah,
yep.
Chip, right? Works there on the Kevin Bean Show.
But then there's clowns.
Yes.
So,
and then there's clowns.
Of course.
Who's with me? Seriously, who's with me?
A
I know
lot
there
of people
are a legion
are
of people.
A lot of people are with you that hate clowns.
Sure.
Why do you suppose you're afraid of clowns, Kat? And the reason I ask that is I think there are a lot of people who aren't really afraid of clowns, but their whole life they've heard from other people who say, oh, no, clowns are too scary, and then they just buy into it.
I'm going to go into
really
like my really deep thought about this.
Yes.
This is dead serious.
All right.
And you know, maybe John Wayne Gacy has something to do with
okay,
it.
Maybe.
But the thing about clowns, and I always observe this as a kid, is they have, you know, the smile that's painted on.
Right.
But if you look at their mouths, it's totally flatline.
Okay.
And that is a contradiction, and it freaks me out because...
But you're an adult now who knows that
take
it's just
it easy.
A person wearing makeup, though.
I but mean, you, John Wayne Gacy... Okay,
right.
Dressed
one,
as a clown.
One guy kills a dozen people and all of a sudden all clowns are bad? Come on.
No, I mean, look, Pennywise from It. So we all see the TV movie
of
Tim Curry in the sewer with the vampire teeth.
I think it is the, it's such a contradiction. Like, they're made up to look so happy. There must be nonsense going on that you don't want any part of.
I think it's like the threat of the last ounce of innocence you have being killed by something, you know?
Could be.
What's your feeling on Ronald McDonald?
Hell no. I still won't. I don't even eat a McDonald's. No.
Even though you know he's just a guy selling hamburgers, still too scary.
He's not the most threatening because he's got like a bad hairdo and stuff. But he just, you know. In general, I'm just not a clown person at all. Like, I just can't. I have certain friends who are like, oh my God, look at this cute puppy. And they send me links, and it's always to some clown thing.
Love it.
And so now
I didn't realize that.
I don't open them anymore.
I'm in.
No, I'm like, you lost
I'll
your privileges.
You. No. I'll get to you.
I don't care if you're bleeding to death. I'm not opening
you. I'll get to you.
Now I've wasted all that time. I can't talk about.
Yes, you can.
Sinead O'Connor. Oh,
sure,
can?
Go ahead. Yeah.
All right. Sinead O'Connor is going to release a memoir. Apparently, she's going to dish on all the people she's had sex with. And, like, go into detail about their sexcapades.
Now, back in the late 80s, she was young and one of the biggest stars in the world, and she was very beautiful. Was she a big-time dater? Does she have, like, celebrities that we may hear dish on? Or what do you know about that, Kat?
I don't know if you really date at that time. I mean, she was gorgeous. That video that she did, you know, the
Nothing
Prince
Compares to You,
is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you necessarily can date too much when you're on tour, but I'm sure she had tons of road sex, which is what goes on. But, I mean, think about it. She came up in 87. She was through 87, through the 90s, she was big. So all of the artists she could have come in contact with, she could have had sex with everyone from Trent Reznor to Emo Phillips. It's like that broad a range of people.
I hope. No, I don't hope.
Maybe
for
the Hoff.
Trent Reznor, because I love him.
Okay, good.
And she's honked up, too, because remember, she was celibate for years. She was also a lesbian for years. She also was a priest for some period of time in her life, remember? I mean, she has definitely been through a lot of phases.
And,
so this could be a fascinating book.
There are tons of K-Rock listeners who are right now are like, oh, crazy girls, crazy sex. They're nodding their heads,
that's
thinking
true.
She must have been a dynamo.
And then there are a lot of guys going, oh, no, I hope I don't get mentioned.
How about Kat, if whoever your number one rock star fantasy is, and I don't know who that is right now, but let's say you get your time with that guy, and it's the moment, and he's dressed like a clown. Do you say no, or
why?
Do you go for it because, hey, you know underneath the makeup there's, you know, fill in the blank, Dave Grohl or whoever it is.
Why did you do this to me?
That's a good question. You know it's Dave Grohl or whoever you love. You know that for a fact.
It's Trent Reznor, it's whoever, but he's dressed like a clown, but you could still have him. What do you do?
I might make it an attempt, but I think it's a deal breaker. I'm pretty
Lights
sure
off.
It's a deal breaker. Like, all of a sudden, you've not gotten sexy.
Really?
You're not sexy
anymore. All right. That's weird. Right. You're weird, but all right.
I don't think I'm alone on this.
I don't either.
Can we move on to birthdays and stop talking about clowns? All right. We've got Jesse Jackson turned 73 today. Chevy Chase is 71. Actress Sigourney Weaver, 65. Matt Damon, who Lisa and I are going to have to fight over.
Apparently in the parking lot.
You know
after
Kung
the show.
Fu, though, don't you? You're about a black belt.
A little karate.
She's like a mauve.
I'm mauve.
She's done.
A mauve.
Yeah, I mean, she's like.
She's a dusty rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt Damon is 44. We also have singer Bruno Mars, 29. And TV host Nick Cannon is 34. That is the Showbiz Beats. I'm going to sleep.
Thank you, Kat. You can't go to sleep. You're up next.
You have a show.
It's the best. Tomorrow morning, we are going to talk to the guy named Michael or McCall or whatever his name is who recorded that Two Eyeballs Halloween song when he was 10.
It's awesome.
I love that.
Love him so much. John Taffer will be on the program tomorrow from Bar Rescue. We have Dr. Drew, who's going to tell us.
You are all going to die tonight.
And Johnny Hendricks, UFC welterweight champ of the world, will be on the program tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.